Dragon's Dogma 2, the highly anticipated successor to the cult classic Dragon's Dogma, is out now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, and Steam. Dragon's Dogma 2 is a third-person action RPG boasting a richly detailed and deeply explorable fantasy world created using Capcom's RE engines, immersive graphics, groundbreaking character AI systems, and cutting-edge graphics. Dive into the vast and dynamic world where the Arisen is called upon to fulfill a forgotten destiny across the nations of Vermund, the Kingdom of Humanity, and Batal, the nation of Beastrin. Dragon's Dogma 2 revolves entirely around choice. Your choice, that is. From the sword and shield wielding fighter to the illusion conjuring trickster, there are over 10 unique vocations to choose from that all require experience to unlock new skills. And character customization is out of this world. Literally. Oh, and did I mention that the combat is really in-depth? It isn't just hacking at a giant's ankle for half an hour while you dodge roll attacks. You can engage enemies from a distance, climb up large foes, stab them in their weak points, use the terrain and trick, trip, or throw foes off high cliffs and raging waters. So visit DragonsDogma.com to buy the game and start your epic quest today. That's DragonsDogma.com to learn more.
I'm about to lose my mind. You've been gone for so long. I'm running out of time. I need a drunk tank. Call me a drunk tank. I need a drunk tank to bring me back to life.
This Rooster Teeth podcast is brought to you by Bing. Only Bing now integrates information from your friends on Facebook and experts on Twitter so you can tap into their knowledge and opinions and spend less time searching and more time doing. Now search goes social. Check it out at bing.com.
I just looked up terrible theme song on Bing and it found our podcast.
Come on, you gotta love our theme song.
Rihanna sent us a podcast theme. That's awesome.
A lot of people slam their genitals into filing cabinets before they record these things.
What? I get what you're saying. Would that be considered a falsetto?
I believe that was an attempt at a falsetto.
Who's the
Leprosaun from the website?
Oh, we know Leprosaun. We're going down to Gav and I are going down to Australia.
Well, how do you feel now? You just made fun of him.
I really liked you.
And you got to how do you like him now?
I will shake your hand.
Nah, I can take him. Have you not met Leprosaun?
I don't know.
Is it Leprosaun? I guess.
I think Leprosaun,
but it's spelled like Leprosaun, right?
S A U M.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's part of the RTOZ crew. They actually came out to visit us, and we're going down, Gavin and I, to Australia this week. We will be in Sydney, Australia for Supernova.
We are on the plane right now.
We're getting close. On the plane. And then we're going to be in Perth. That's how I would say it.
I've never been out to Perth, to anything other than like Sydney and Melbourne. I'm a little jealous.
How many continents exist on planet
so
Earth?
So Gavin doesn't think that Australia is a continent. Learned.
Why do you not think it's a continent?
Because it's a country.
Right.
Okay, right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. And so what qualifies a continent?
What are the continents? How many continents are there, first of all? How many?
Europe, Asia.
No. I want the number. Right off the top of your head. Seven. Okay. So good name. Go ahead.
Europe.
Yep.
North America, South America.
Got him.
Antarctica.
Mm-hmm.
Asia. Australasia.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Okay. And one more.
Africa.
Yeah.
Right. So you named Australia as a continent.
I said Australasia.
Australasia.
Is that the UK equivalent of Australia?
Well,
I think you
fuckers
continent? Are bitter what that continent? You lost Australia, so you're just trying to make it not a continent.
What continent is New Zealand on?
It's part of the continent of Australia. What continent
what?
Is... What continent
Australia is the country.
What continent is the UK on?
Europe.
There you go.
Yeah, so how is this a fucking foreign concept?
What you're saying is England is on the continent of France. It doesn't make any sense. It's a different country.
You guys say Australasia?
Yeah.
Listen, we say Australia. It's a continent of Australia.
It's Australia.
You're both wrong.
I'm going to look up on Bing.com right now. Let's see, Australia.
If you look up idiots in your social feed,
why would you name a continent after the country?
Why would you name a country after the continent? Are you assuming that one that one came before the other?
What? What are you on about?
What are you on about? What does that even mean?
Australasia is a region of Oceania comprising of Australia, New Zealand, and the island of New Guinea, and neighboring islands in the Pacific Ocean. Doesn't say anything about it being Australasia is not a continent.
What's the
Let's get the list of, let's get the list of continents.
It must be fun being Gavin, because, like, everything's new to him. And, like, you know.
You have so much to learn and discover.
Dude, I would be annoyed if I lived in New Zealand and I lived in Australia at the same time.
You get annoyed that you're from the UK, but you live in Europe.
I'm not annoyed.
Do you live in Europe?
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
A lot of people in the UK get upset when you refer to them as Europeans.
Well, it's because we refer to them as Europeans. Because mainland Europe is one big chunk and we're completely separate. So we just refer to that as Europe. Like, we're going over to Europe.
Right.
But we're obviously still Europe.
You're a European.
Uh-huh.
I can refer to you as a European and you're okay with that.
If you want.
Okay.
Would you say someone from Canada is an American?
No. Interesting.
No.
Would you?
No.
Do you think it bothers Canadians that they're on the continent of America? Northern version? Do you think it bothers them that that's the case? Why don't they get to call themselves Canada or America? Because they are the north part of North America. They should have precedence.
Yeah.
Is Australia not...
Why do we get the name America?
Is Australasia not a continent then?
What's that?
No. We went through that already.
What's that thing, Oceania? What's that?
I don't know what Oceania is.
Is that the continent?
I think that's a region.
That's like the region. Like when we talk about we distribute DVDs down there, we call it that our oceanic distributor.
Because it includes Australia and all those islands.
Yeah, exactly. So we probably use the term Oceania the way that you use Australasia. How is New Zealand more Asia, like including New Zealand? Because New Zealand is further away from Asia than Australia is.
Yeah.
So to include New Zealand, you use the name of the continent to its furthest
point? I'm sure they go off of plates, right? Like tectonic plates? I've like heard where of, they sit?
Don't get Gavin started.
Sorry. I forgot about that.
I've heard of Eurasia as well as a region.
Before the Earth expanded, where was New Zealand? In the mush.
In the scrum. I like to think of the continents as rugby players, ripping ears off. And
people get on us for getting on Gav. When he talks, but then they also, when he lets something fly that we don't call him on, they really get upset with us.
If you want to see just pure, unedited Gavin, watch Awu from this week. So Jeff's out of town, and so I had Gavin sit in and do the game releases.
We had a little dance as well at the beginning.
And we did have a little dance at the beginning, and you somehow fell on a flat floor with nothing on.
Stood on my laces.
So I had Gavin do the achievement of the week. The achievement of the week was, what's the name of the achievement? Do you remember what it was?
It's a lollipop chainsaw.
It's a lollipop chainsaw achievement. It has to do with peeking under the skirt. Like, apparently if you peek under her, like the main character's skirt, you get an achievement for that.
What a week for Jeff to be absent.
So that's the achievement. There are three games coming out this week. There's Lollipop Chainsaw, Dirt something, like another Dirt game, and something called, Babel Unleashed or something?
Babel Rising.
So
it seems like, I gotta say, there's only three games coming out this week, not to interrupt your story, but it seems like there's so much visibility on video games this week. This would be a great week to release a new title.
Yeah, you think so.
I guess people worry about getting buried.
Well, also, people are also thinking about upcoming games, too. But yes. Anyway, so, of those three games, one of which involves a cheerleader running around in a skirt.
Go on.
One of which is a racing game, and one of which we don't know what the game is about. And the achievement has to do with looking under a skirt. And Gavin didn't know what game it was in. And we've got it all on video.
Yeah, but then you said it was in... You said, like, really deadpan, no, it's in Babel Rising.
I said, what game do you think it's in? It's in Babel Rising.
Yeah.
And so I said it just like that. And he thought that was me being legit.
Oh.
And so, after all that, you've still got to remember that... It's amazing. It's a good minute and a half of Gavin just being flat out.
You got
to
remember that while we're doing Awu, 40% of my attention is going into what I'm supposed to say. 60% is looking in the viewfinder and trying to dodge being slapped in the back of the head. Like, I'm on edge the whole time.
It is important.
Yeah.
But that adds up to 100%. We know you don't operate at 100%.
Yeah. I lost a couple of percent.
That's way more than you've got.
You know, I was thinking about that the other day because I heard some... There's a thing that people do on Facebook and Twitter where they post motivational
stuff. Oh my God, shut up. Forever, everyone.
It really is. It's like they like turn into a fortune cookie. And
can
they
there just, be a separate Twitter for that?
Yeah, for just motivate. I wish you could like filter out all, like get a database of all motivational quotes or inspirational quotes and just, I don't want to ever see them.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see anybody's inspirational quotes. So somebody posted that like, today I'm going to give it 115% or 110% or something like
that's
that.
That's a pet peeve of mine.
And they said that, and I was like, fuck you. You know who I was thinking about? I was thinking about Monty. Like, Monty works really hard.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, like, people always say, I'm going to give it 110%. Like, Monty is a guy where it's like, Monty's trying to give 100%. He understands 100% is the most that you can give it. And he literally tries to give it 100%. Like, when he's working on something, he's like, how do I not sleep? Because sleep does not contribute to this thing.
It detracts percentages.
He is trying to reach 100% of effort on what he does. It is amazing to watch. He gets down to the point of like, how do I reduce my amount of steps to go from here to here so that I can continue to work?
Mm-hmm.
That's someone who understands like what it takes to get stuff done. And it's like, he's not, you don't see Monty making posts about, you know, 110%, you know. He'll say that.
That's a huge pet peeve of mine, the anything over 100%. Now, I'm almost hesitant to tell this part of the story because it might give people the wrong idea. But someone recently signed me up for a newsletter, an email newsletter, the quote of the day database. So every day I was getting bombarded with fucking quotes. No, it was driving me insane.
I'm staying quiet because I don't want to get hit by the shrapnel. I don't want to get signed up. But you said that now people are going to start signing you up for other stuff.
Right,
as well.
I may ask to get this part cut.
Yeah, I did something recently to Gavin.
Yeah, do you want to talk about that, Jack?
Yeah, so I was at E3 last week. We'll get into that later. But
great job at E3, by the way.
Thank you very much. I've got like 100 hours. I've got like a solid hour of footage and like 100 clips to go through still. So there's going to be more videos. But anyway.
Awesome.
So I met up with the Mega64 guys while like I just bumped into them. Literally at the Xbox booth, I was standing there waiting for someone. And I was like, oh, hey, look, it's Rocco and all those guys. Sweet. And so I was like, hey, let's cut a video or let's shoot some real quick. And so those guys don't do interviews. Like, they don't do proper interviews at all, which is fantastic. And, like, their style of humor I love. And so they go on this two-minute rant, end up talking about vinyl records and the Strutter. The Strutter from Kiss. And then Rocco was talking about, like, if you like this video, email. And then he said an email address that was not the email address I wanted him to say. And so he said that twice. And so I got back to the hotel or whatever, and I edited the video, and I redubbed it with Gavin's email address.
Awful. Awful. Gus, if somebody did that to you, you would hit the fucking roof.
I would, but if it's Jack and Gavin, it's funny.
Yeah, really funny. So
it's a difference between comedy and drama.
If it were Gus at Monday meeting, he would show up with the mail server, and he would hit it with a fucking sledgehammer and go, nobody gets email.
So this is what I'm dealing with now. I've got my Rooster Teeth email address on my phone. And in the video, he said, also email 5 of your favorite songs.
Yeah. Attach them to the email.
So I'm about to go to Australia, where every megabyte counts. And I've got like 500 emails coming in every day.
This is a serious deal.
With 5 songs attached. Every email is like 12 megs. And it's gonna.
What's the most common song?
I'm not listening to these songs.
Come on.
My email address is ruined, so thanks. Don't bother trying to contact me on that one.
Wait, so you gave him his Rooster Teeth email address,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so I do
what
not...
I've just removed it from my phone.
Nice, okay. So I do not feel guilty about this at all, because first of all, thanks for having me back on the podcast. It's been a while. And second of all of you guys.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are fucking brutal.
Don't say that to me.
Jesus fucking Christ, man.
Jack, you listened to that podcast. I tried to help.
At the very end, so you can say you can defend now.
It went from fleshlights to disgusting.
It was like, yeah, straight to Jack. It went like, I don't know what the fuck happened. Like, who did I piss off? But like, suddenly the last like 3 podcasts, you guys have been shitting on me. And fuck all you guys.
No, buddy, I got the beard that was an homage to you.
You said you were trying to defend Jack. I was talking about gross dudes and how gross dudes are. You immediately went to Jack straight away. It was imagine Jack.
You were leading into the conversation about kissing a dude with a big beard. I go, let's cut to the chase. You're talking about Jack. I did inadvertently bring up the fleshlight conversation, which then led to
fucking
Jack.
Fleshlight. God damn. So
your tweet, so we've been your tweet made my day when I said,
Jesus
like,
Christ.
Guys, I threw it away.
We finally got away from that. I was so happy because like that fucking thing.
We talked about it forever ago.
Like we have mentioned it. Like it was something I didn't even want to bring up back in the day. And then someone was like, you have to talk about it. I was like, all right, fucking hell. Because if I wasn't going to say something, someone else would bring it up. So I was like, fuck it, I'll talk about it and just get it over with. So that followed me around for months and months and months. Like, God damn it. And then finally I just ignored it. And it finally fucking went away. And no one said anything. And then all of a sudden, like, hey, fleshlights. And then, God damn, I can't fucking get away from it now. Now everyone thinks I'm like a fleshlight connoisseur or something.
Well, which is your favorite?
So the fun thing was me having to explain to my girlfriend why these guys are talking about fleshlights.
Does she listen to the podcast?
Huh? Now she does, yeah. So I'm like, okay, you're like, now also I just recently got her onto the website. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to explain this to you because some jackass is going to write on your comments.
Don't explain it.
Yeah. And so, and I explained it to her. She's fine with it. But anyway, long story short,
she broke up with that fleshlight long before you met her. She has no reason to be jealous.
I do not own a fleshlight. It has been thrown away. Okay. All right, I do not own one.
Sure. I mean, I don't believe you, but sure.
Well, I do own one, and I poured your water through it.
Whoa. Let's stop making jokes about that.
I took your, as poured on one end and let it come out the other end, and so you've been drinking that for the past.
Wait, so it's a straight shot through?
Yeah, right through.
That's it.
I picture it like a martini shaker, like you'd have to cover it and shake it up.
All right, we can't have another gag podcast.
I can't do it, guys.
But his eyes are going up. You know what's about to happen.
I can't do it.
So we, I was actually contemplating possibly like trying to find the PR guy for Fleshlight and see if I get all you fuckers Fleshlight so it's not just me anymore. Like, everyone's got one. But yeah, listen, fuck all you guys.
Listen. Save that for the video podcast.
Jack, I did on the podcast. I even said you got it as part of a promotional thing at another event.
Yes.
You didn't go out and buy it. And then I even called you. I do this from time to time.
You did.
You were not on the podcast, but you were discussed in depth. You should probably listen to the podcast before it comes out.
But anyway, so. Fuck all you guys.
Good times.
Now I've got like another 6 months of waiting this out, and I'm sure some jackass will bring it up again.
You're saying I deserve my email?
Fuck yeah. All
right.
Fuck all you fuckers do.
So were you upset?
I do not feel guilty for that at all. You were like fuck you.
Yeah, that was some malice. That was cold-blooded.
Anyway.
Jack's looking me right in the eye.
I feel like there's a list now, and he's just working it.
I know.
Gosh, you're next.
It's like some kind of revenge movie.
Who else was on that podcast? Michael,
Barbara, I think Lindsay was on there.
And Monty,
He knows who was on there.
He's got a piece of paper with all our names, and I've got a line through mine.
It's like Kill Bill. Would she have the deathless spine or whatever?
I think I just figured out who signed you up for the quote newsletter.
Oh.
It's working emails.
No, that's happened to me before, and fuck that. That's evil shit.
Yeah, so. I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to give people more ideas.
I know, right? Exactly. Yeah. So, email is an accepted social contract. Just don't. Email sucks bad enough for everybody.
Yeah.
Just don't fuck with
email. We get so much email as it is that it's just like
email.
Anything else like that? It's like motherfucker.
Email's dying, right?
Yeah.
Like, people aren't using it.
Why is email so crap still? Like, why can't I send an HD video through email?
Huh?
People just limit it because
why?
Here's why. Because everyone can send email. And, like, even the guys who spam, like, if you read some of the articles, interviews with the guys who generate spam, I think at one point in the late 90s or early 2000s, 95% of the spam in the world was generated by, like, six dudes. And they were totally fine with it. They were
I guess that's true. If you're going to accept it, you have to have a limit. Otherwise, you'll just get spammed by those dudes with, like, 100 megabyte attachments over and over.
They don't give a shit, yeah. I mean, their rates, they'd send out millions and millions of emails, and they might get like a 0.0001% return rate. But like, I don't care. It's all free.
Does anybody here ever know anyone that's bought anything off of spam?
No.
No.
I want to say no, but I might have.
We know someone. You and I used to work with someone who bought something from a piece of spam, and we were fucking pissed at him.
We got mad at him.
Yeah.
Yeah. For like contributing to the problem.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember what it was?
It was like a Star Wars memorabilia thing. This was like back in 99 or 2000, I want to say.
Yeah. And also the thing is, too, it's like, keep in mind, like you were talking about your phone, email distributes to a bunch of different platforms. So, you know, like if you're trying to get email across, you know, a 4G network or whatever to a phone and it has a 100 meg attachment, that's, you know, that's going
to be a
problem.
Yeah, but there should be a new specification. Like it should have been improved to the point where, like, if you know people and you share contacts, like you should be whitelisted.
Okay. Yeah,
like there should be a more robust solution instead of this bullshit from the 70s we have.
And it could give you like a message pop-up saying, someone's sending you a file this big through email. Do you want to accept it? Or like, do you want to download all your other emails first and then accept it and stuff like that?
I could see that having like IMAP 2 or something. Like if there was like an updated version. Something
email
like
does
that.
Suck.
And it does kind of suck.
Yeah. Wow, Christ. I just read a story about the spam king, Eddie Davidson. And he actually went to jail, I guess, at one point. I'm not going to read this. This is a dark. You should read this story about this guy on Wikipedia. It is dark. We'll link it in the linked up.
What's the dark bit?
Well, he ends up escaping from prison, and then
he escaped.
Yeah, and then he
he sent the guard a spam email.
I don't think they put you in a huge lockup for spam.
He sent a friend of his came to the prison, pretending to be Nigerian royalty, and sprung it out of the clink.
He got out, and And then he was working from home for $80 an hour. No, but he killed his family and then shot himself.
Wow.
Why would you escape from prison to do that?
Because they were talking shit about you and your fleshlight. He's like, I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to murder those fuckers.
He showed up and his wife had a fake beard. And she was pissed. Were you pissed about the fake beard that
fake
I got?
Fake beard thing, I don't care about
okay.
that.
I took a funny picture of Jack where he was wearing the fake beard under his real beard. Yeah. And it's kind of close. It looks like
it's
a beard.
It's kind of funny.
A beard extension.
Like a beard extension, yeah.
Have you ever noticed that most spam seems to like... There's like a common thread in all spam. It's always about like taking a shortcut or doing something quick or finding a secret or a trick to do something. I feel like 95% of the spam I get is like that. It's like... Lose weight without trying. Make a ton of money working at home.
Like the spam I've been getting lately is like two sentences, and it's one sentence of gibberish, and then a link sentence of gibberish.
It targets lazy people.
Okay, yeah, it must. Maybe lazy people are dumb. I don't know. What does that say about that? Like, I'd like to see a profile of people who click on links from spam.
There's actually. So, do you know who Harden Firm is?
Yeah. It sounds really familiar.
It's Chris Hardwick and Mike Furman.
Yeah.
And Chris Hardwick's got his Nerdist. And they have a music group together where they do sort of like geek songs. Like they have one about pi, like the number pi, and then a whole bunch of other stuff. They have a freestyle poetry performance all done with spam email like subject lines. It's it's really funny.
That's pretty clever.
Yeah. So, anyway.
That sounds interesting. Spam is fascinating to me. Like the way things are worded, like if it's poor translation or... I'm always convinced that there's like a secret message there. That it's like a very public form of secret communication, and I just don't know what the message is.
Now, would you lump spam and phishing together? Like the 419 guys?
Are you ever, Gus, more disappointed in a person you know than when they fall for a phishing attempt?
That's so sad.
Well, when they like enter their password of their bank into a link from an email.
Right, because we had that call with a friend of mine that I was running another site with a long time ago. And he's like, hey, PayPal said there was a problem with their account and sent us an email and the click, and I had to like put all our information in. And I was like, you motherfucker. So send me the email. And then, of course, when you hover over the link, it goes to like paypal.cz or something like that.
Brandon almost fell for one recently.
Yeah.
He forwarded me one of those phishing ones from PayPal. I was like, hey, is this important? Should someone take care of this? And I was like, don't fucking click on any of that.
Get in my office right now.
stop.
Yeah. It's just those things look legit. I mean, they put up a logo. But it's really amazing to me that I could make a phishing email. I could do that. I could write one. But it's amazing to me when you look at those phishing emails and you know they're obviously an attempt to scam you. They're filled with grammatical errors or misspellings. It's like, how do you get it right?
That's why I wonder if it's like overseas people or like where these are originating from.
Or if they get everything right, is it somehow more illegal? You know, it's kind of like those eBayers. No. Did you ever see – I never watched Judge Judy, but I saw Judge Judy where the case was somebody who bought something on eBay. And then it turned out the auction was for a picture of the item and not the actual item.
I've heard of that. Yeah.
And the woman was in court and she was like, it was interesting to see someone trying to defend that, going, yeah, it says in the description, I was just selling a picture of the phone. I wasn't selling the phone. He goes, well, she paid you $80 for the phone. She goes, and I sent her the picture of the phone. That's what it is. And Judge G was like, are you a fucking maniac? You're a criminal.
How did Judge Judy rule?
Oh, man. She brutalized this lady for like, I mean, it was clear that. The verdict was already going to go in favor of the plaintiff, but she just brutalized this lady for like 10 minutes straight. It's one of the greatest things ever.
Nice.
You know, got to the point of like talking about her husband, how her husband was a coward because he wouldn't show up in court.
Wow.
So what is required? Say I wanted to send some spam
go ahead.
To like 10 million people. What kind of equipment would I need to do that?
A server?
You need a mail server.
Yeah.
How long would it take to send 10 million emails?
It depends. Like with no attachment, just text?
Yeah.
You could... I mean, depending if it's just like a dedicated server that just blasts with no like, you know, no bounce backs or anything, you could probably blow through 10 million in a day. Easily.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's nothing to do it, man. It's
I know
nothing
when,
to
when
do
we
it.
Do our blasts, you know, for people who sign up for our newsletter, it takes several hours to do, you know, a couple hundred thousand. But that's because we need to, you know, monitor the bounce backs. And,
there's
you know,
images we, and
ours is actually legitimate.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, there's images and there's a lot more that goes into it. Since we're not just blasting without waiting for responses.
Did you see that clip on the BBC where they were talking about the United Nations Security Council and the logo they put up was the UNSC from Halo?
Yes, I'm glad you brought it up.
I'm so am I.
People have been begging us to talk about that. People, like, people, there's news items that come up occasionally that people, that is something we would talk about on the podcast.
Right.
And when it does pop up, people send it's them to us like crazy. Like
a very serious news report with some Halo imagery behind.
Yeah, they're talking about Syria, I think.
Are we at war with the Covenant? Have
they landed in Syria?
I know another one of those topics similar to that was the bath salts zombie guy in Florida.
Thank you, God, for bringing that up, Gus.
Jesus Christ.
We should have a clearinghouse of, like, we just didn't talk.
Sometimes when we record the podcast, something happens between the 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And it falls closer to the podcast we've already recorded.
Yeah, by the time it's the next week, it's kind of
stale.
Kind of old.
Yeah. And so we don't talk about it, but then it's like they hear about it late, and then they're like, why aren't you talking about this zombie in Florida? Which, by the way, there's been like 5 other attacks.
Yeah. So what was the thing?
There's another face-eating thing, too.
Some guy ate a dude's face off him.
Yeah. Not just any dude. He ate a homeless dude's face, which seems like extra gross to me. It's like, okay, eating a face is gross, but like eating a homeless face is like even worse.
Was the guy dead?
It's like jerky or something.
I think the dude lived.
Yeah, he lived. Like, there's a...
What? How do you let your face get in?
There's like a gruesome photo online you can find. I don't want to see it. You do not want to see it.
I saw it by accident.
It's like a story.
It's gruesome.
A story I read once where a woman was out walking. She got attacked by this vicious dog. So she, like, bails onto the floor, like, protects her neck and stuff, and has her arms above her head like this. Her arms got eaten. How do you let a dog eat your arms?
That's what I'm saying. You could take a dog.
Yeah, just, like, gouge its eyes out.
Exactly.
Or, like, do the King Kong T-Rex jaw snap. why would you let a dog eat both of your arms?
See, this is what I'm on about.
Maybe you're like, it'll be happy with one arm. No, there goes it's in the other one.
He's so hungry. And that shows she survived. She's fine. She's got no arms because she let a dog eat her arms. That blows my mind. Just
fight back.
Just smash
it. I mean, I guess some people
fight back. It's like the signs they put up in areas that have wild cats. Is like if you're in like the mountainous territory and there's bobcats or mountain lions, they have signs that say if you run into a mountain lion, the last step is fight back. Make a lot of noise, look big, and the last step is always fight back. Because people are trained, if you're attacked by a wild animal, play dead. That only works with a couple animals.
Yeah, like with the bears.
I grew up kind of out in the middle of nowhere, and we had mountain lions in that area. And that was my biggest fucking fear, is like being out somewhere and running into a goddamn mountain lion.
Yeah.
That scares the shit out of me.
I mean, if you've ever seen a house cat, when something is dead, that's when the fun starts. You know? Yeah. It's like, hey, I have a new toy. Yeah. Cats are fucking... They are vicious, terrible animals.
But surely the fact... Like you said, like, you can beat any animal. I feel like the fact that I have... Like, the ability to squeeze with my hands...
Right.
I feel like that's the winning thing.
And you know...
I feel like if I wanted to, I could grab a piece of cat and just rip it off.
Or, yeah, you could take out the dog's throat.
Yeah. Or like, bring his tongue out.
For some reason, you talking about squeezing made me think about this. I saw a squirrel in my front yard yesterday with the biggest squirrel balls I've ever seen in my life. Like, it couldn't walk straight. It was like a cowboy.
You start a news aggregator site based on that.
You know, that's one of the terrible things. You talk about the woman getting her arms eaten off. I read a horrible thing about a baboon attack.
Oh, no.
And one of, is this one that we're not going to link them?
One of the first things they do is they tear off your genitals.
Oh, yeah. There's always these stories about mauled genitals. So
that's just unbelievable to me.
That's not cool. That's not acceptable.
No. Brain drop drink.
No balls.
Apple.
I like the idea of, like, anything goes in the animal kingdom, but, like, you go up to a baboon that just mauls someone's genitals and just, like, not cool, dude. What? Come on.
-5 points.
It's like Geneva Convention
kind of stuff.
You can't do
that. That sounds like a Far Side comic. Like a dark Far Side comic. Like, Steve, no. No, not the balls.
Come on.
Really?
You know what the belt is.
There's a line, Steve. It always makes me realize, too, when I read about these things, is that we spend all this time like, oh, animal cruelty, we're being mean to animals and all that, and we you know, meter ourselves to not be cruel to animals. If the tables were turned, fuck it, we would be eaten every 5 seconds. We'd be, like, gutted. It's like nothing else in the world has that idea of, like, oh, let's preserve the other animals. They're like, no, let's fucking kill this thing and bat it around for a while.
I mean, that's what separates us from animals, though. That's the counter-argument.
Well, yeah, that in
video
games.
Have you heard about, like... You know, basically everything is chemical. Like, we're controlled by our brain,
and slight
chemicals can affect...
Totally.
Well, you're in a coma, so yeah.
Yeah. But did you ever hear about that thing elephants do sometimes, where they just start, like, stuff starts pouring from their ears or something. I read this a long time ago. It's
great.
Really,
no, go ahead. It's a great story.
They just go crazy. Like, there's a name for it. Like
elephantitis, right?
No, but they just go absolutely crazy. And there was a story about a guy who'd owned this elephant. He was the trainer of this elephant for like 10 years. All of a sudden, this big chemical thing happens that happens to elephants sometimes, like a big hormonal thing. Just goes crazy, starts killing everyone, killed his trainer, and then it's just like, oh, I'm fine again. But like,
maybe somebody talks about its flesh.
Man, that must be huge.
It's like a spotlight.
I think they call it like must or something like that.
Must. I'm going to look up elephant must.
But they just go crazy for a very small period of time. But like, but that could happen to humans.
Well, I guess.
And then, but they'd be, if it happened to a human, they'd be jailed for life.
Be like a psychotic break. That's like temporary insanity or something, right?
Yeah. It's
like
a legal defense. But if you return to normal, you just ruined your life by something you had no control over. It's kind of scary that any chemical change could just literally change who you are for about an hour. And then you're back.
That's a good defense. I'm going to use that.
That's the weird thing about like narcotics, though. I mean, like hallucinogens and things like that. Like, there's just something in your brain where like you could take something and all of a sudden you see shit that's not there. Mm-hmm. Like that's
you have no idea.
That's freaky to me. You know, like I don't know. It's weird that a chemical can just alter your perception of reality like that.
No, he's got it. I mean, I'm looked it up on Wikipedia. It's must with an H at the end, or must is a periodic condition in bull elephants characterized by highly aggressive behavior, accompanied by a large rise in reproductive hormones. Testosterone levels in an elephant in must can be as much as 60 times greater than the same elephant at other times.
I've seen a video of an elephant in must, and it is going crazy. It's literally trying to kill anything that moves, and then it just returns to being a normal elephant. Like, what? Oh, what happened? Everyone's dead.
Why is everyone dead?
Oh, my trainer.
Can I ask you a question? When you see, like, a captive animal attacking
you always
a trainer
root for the animal. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
You always do.
You see like a freeze frame of a dude like upside down. He's like looking at his own legs, and there's like a horn going through his back. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. It's always bullfights. Yeah. Like whenever a bull wins the bullfight, you're like, yes.
Score one from Mother Nature.
God, I saw one on Reddit the other day where a guy took a horn.
Oh, I saw that.
Don't do it. Don't link that. Don't search for it.
Let me talk about this before we go on to too many more disgusting things.
Do you not think we should talk about something nice before you talk about this?
No, we talk about this. This will segue us into something nice.
Okay.
I want to say thanks to Bing.com for the support of this podcast. I heard Bing.com has gone social, so I've been using it to see what these new features can mean for us. Like we talked about last week, you know, we entered in Halo 4 and we were able to see what all of our Facebook friends were talking about. This week I did a search for Minecraft because I know Minecraft has the Facebook integration on Xbox 360.
Uh-huh.
So it's an easy way to see all the screenshots your friends are making, you know, from Minecraft or what they're saying about it. So, you know, it just surfaces your Facebook friends who recently liked, shared, or searched that content. And it really helps point to you to what your friends are doing related to it. So, best of all, you can easily post and comment to my friends on Facebook from the search terms, all in one place. So
wait a second. So if you do a screenshot in Minecraft on Xbox, do you integrate your Facebook account and it shows up on Facebook?
Let me read this last thing and I'll tell you exactly how it works. So most of us have an interest in Minecraft, so let's see how we can collect our knowledge and with Bing to make our search experience better. So check out Bing.com and connect it to Facebook. So thank you to Bing for supporting us.
Thank you, Bing.
So, yeah, in Minecraft, is it the back button you hit or the select button on the controller?
Yeah, I think and then you press Y and you can share it. You press Y to take the screenshot and then you can share it or something.
Yeah, I knew that feature was there, but I never used it until I saw the video you made for Achievement Hunter.
Yeah, because you actually unlock a theme for your dashboard if you do that.
I wanted the Minecraft theme for my 360.
I noticed you were using it, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I took a screenshot and posted to Facebook and It's really smooth.
Yeah.
I'm a little sore on Minecraft right now.
Oh, you had a bad experience.
So I've been playing Minecraft with Joel.
I knew that was going to end badly. I knew that you had to
We had just been talking about this. Yeah. Didn't we talk about this on the previous podcast?
Yeah, we were talking about what would happen, and then boom.
Yeah, so the way the Minecraft servers work in Xbox Live Arcade is whoever hosts the game basically owns the server. And so
it's like a save file. No, essentially.
Yeah, like the file exists on that person's account. And so I've been playing with Joel, and Joel had been saving the game on his thumb drive, his you know, where he has his profile and everything. And I personally probably put somewhere between 15 and 20 hours into that game, and Joel probably put damn near 100 hours into that.
It looked like it. It was like the biggest fortress I've ever seen.
It was incredible.
And I've been playing Minecraft for a year on the PC, and I've seen some impressive stuff. Yeah. That was impressive, what Joel had done. Yeah, really impressive.
And the thing of that too is like it's all, you know, there's no creative mode or whatever. You have to like mine all that stuff, and you know there are some ways you can get around that. But anyway, it's still a lot of work you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so his thumb drive died somehow. I'm not sure what happened, but it just stopped working.
I feel bad because it died as soon as he invited me to the game.
Oh, yeah. You were the last person to see the thing alive.
He added me to his friends list, invited me. I walked in. I, like, saw the fortress. I was like, wow. I started walking towards it. The game ended. That was it.
Yeah. And so, Gus, you tried some surgery on it trying to repair this thing.
Yeah, it didn't work. Not able to recover. Maybe you can take it to a data recovery place. I don't know. I've never seen a USB thumb drive like that.
Yeah. So, anyway, it was very, very sad. It's scary because he's using the exact same thumb drive that I use, that Jeff uses. I think Bernie has one of those.
Back that shit up.
Guys, yeah. I don't use a fucking thumb drive anymore because I use cloud storage.
It never syncs in time. By the time I've got home and I want to continue my game, it hasn't synced.
I've never had a problem with cloud storage. You people are fucking
maniacs. This is what I want you to do. I want you to play a game. I want you to hit save, turn your Xbox off, go home, try and play that save immediately.
Okay.
You have to go and turn on the other Xbox to have it upload properly. It doesn't do it in the background. It has to wait until there's the time is right to upload it to the cloud.
Yeah, but if you turn your Xbox off, doesn't it still... Can't it still perform network activity even once you've turned it off? Like, I know downloads can continue once you've turned it off.
It just doesn't seem to do it. The amount of times I've had my storages on different Xboxes out of sync, and then I download the one that's, like, 2 weeks old. It's like, what? Damn it, I've got to go back to work and turn the Xbox on.
How about this? Okay. How about you and I live different lives, and that I'm never in the situation where I'm playing Xbox until I have to run out the fucking door, that I can turn it off my game and then go back to the dashboard and then leave. That's better to me than, like, hauling this thumb drive around, which fails, and then you don't have a goddamn world that you worked on for 50 hours.
Did you see some of those worlds on Reddit recently?
What are you doing? It's like, let's go. It's like, no, one more save.
I work on videos because, like, when we do things to do and stuff, a lot of it is ideas and, like, preparing for the video. So I do a lot of that at home. So I'm just, like, playing at work, and then I'll carry on at home. And I want to just carry on where I left off. Doesn't work. There's no point. It's done.
Also, we had to test it.
Drive on my keyring, I dropped it in the river this weekend when I went to float the river. Works fine.
Do you back it up ever? Do you like go through and back up? Do you have an Xbox where all your stuff lives?
Ever since like Michael temporarily lost his
thumb
drive the other day, and it was like 2 hours of Skyrim, and I was playing Skyrim at the time, and I was just like, I'm going to go back this up right now.
I have one Xbox where I used to back everything up, but now it's all cloud. It's the greatest thing ever. I have profiles on every Xbox in this place. I can sit down wherever I want to at any point in time, log in and play.
If there was an option to back up to the cloud in the background, like, say I'm still using my stick.
Okay.
And I just want it to back up that to the cloud without me knowing. I wouldn't use it from the cloud. I would only go to it in an emergency. I would like that feature better.
I would like that, but the cloud's restricted to, 512 megabytes of storage, I think? And you could have up to a 16 gig
thumbstick. They could just rotate out the older stuff.
It could just rotate out the older stuff.
It could be like Time Machine.
There you go.
Jeez.
Don't take shit from him.
Time Machine does that, though, doesn't it? Just ditches the old stuff. Ditches the older backups.
Yeah.
Well, there is a... Like, the iPhone has that now where you can back up your whole thing to iCloud.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah.
Really?
I've used it.
For some reason, I don't trust that. And that's weird.
No, that's awesome because you can lose your phone, have a new one, and it will be your old phone within an hour.
Yeah.
I don't care about my gameplay saves. I care about my data.
I care about my messages.
Like, I'm worried about exposing my data to the cloud. Like,
You're talking about your phone, Gavin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Like, is it back up your emails?
You can select what you want to be backed up and what you don't.
Like music, I wouldn't care about. That'd be cool. Mm-hmm. You know,
email's not a big deal for you because all your stuff's IMAP. It's on our server. That's true. All you have to do is just get a new phone and put in your new email info.
Let's stop talking about email.
Sorry.
Let's get away from it. Sorry.
What I was going to say is, going back to the Minecraft thing, the people posted some crazy shit on Reddit over the weekend. Like someone recreated a scale version of the Mines of Moria from Fellowship of the Rings.
Oh, it looks so fucking cool.
Someone else like recreated Rome. Like the ancient Rome, like the Colosseum and the Circus Maximus and all that shit. That is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
What was the first thing you ever heard about in Minecraft? Like the first big project?
The first thing I ever heard about Minecraft was the guy lighting his house on fire.
Yeah.
Like that was like Minecraft 0.1.
What?
I mean, that was...
Gus, I think you showed it to us.
It was a video where this guy like had built like this really elaborate house.
Wooden house.
A wooden house. And it was like very, very cool. And he's talking about like he's kind of touring around. He's like, okay, here's my fireplace. And he lights up the fire.
He had a stone fireplace.
Yeah.
And one square in the back was wood.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And so the fire like sparked and hit the wall. And then it's like immediately like, oh God. Oh God.
Fire back then moved a lot faster as well. So you see him like look around, he's like, ah! he goes, like gets a bucket. It's like one more time. Like, and it does nothing. It's like, oh,
no, I didn't see that. It spreads in like his panic. It's genuine.
Very funny.
And it's hilarious.
Those real moments are what makes Let's Plays for me. It's just like. Mm-hmm. Those shocking moments.
We were talking, so we had the Plan G, which is the video, our third Let's Play, which is the video where we blow up the world.
The original reason we made that world was so we could do that trick with you in the ceiling.
Yeah.
So that was Plan A. Plan B was that not working and me dumping lava in your house. And then I was like, well, what if that didn't work either? So Jeff and I came up with Plan G, where we we made a basement under the Achievement Hunter logo, filled it to the brim with dynamite.
Yeah.
I like how you tell everyone not to dig onto it because you don't want to get it messed up. It's all just a room. Because there's just fucking tons of TNT down there.
We thought of literally everything. Like, I went into the game, like, I was thinking, I'm going to be one of these. I'm going to be Jack or Michael. What if I just dug out a piece of wall? So we went under the wall with a layer of dirt before we put... We thought of everything. It was a really elaborate plan. It took us, like, 20 hours.
How long you guys did that on the weekend?
We did it over Saturday and Sunday.
Memorial Day weekend.
And it was probably like 20 hours.
But like the thing about that video, it's like...
It got a million views.
No, we just crossed a million views this week, which is awesome. But, like, I was watching it, and I was like, I can't believe no one touched that logo. Like, we cut it, but, I mean, there was a good probably 30, 40 minutes where...
You all even restart the game, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, because... No, I figured out why we restarted the game. Is because that was the one where, you know, basically Gavin walked in and lit my house on fire, so I went and lit everyone else's house on fire. Right. And then I started pouring lava on the logo.
And I was like, it's going
to... They were thinking it was going to catch fire and then hit the mines and blow up everything. So there's, we got to restart. And so that's immediately when they start restarting.
Yeah. The amazing thing to me in that game is that before we let you in, we forgot to clear out all the chests full of our supplies and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So immediately Ray walks over to one of the chests, opens a chest with like 400 dynamite in it, and just goes, huh. He doesn't say anything. He just didn't say a word.
Well, see, that happened to me because I found a chest full of like 8 buckets of lava, and I was like, okay, something's clearly going on here. And like, yeah, and so, but yeah, I was gonna have
it's to, like walking into the back room and seeing all the pictures of you on the wall. Like, what is this?
Have you encountered slime at all in the
once.
Xbox?
Okay. Yeah, I have one time on the server.
There was a time in the PC version when it was much rarer. As
yeah, because it would only appear in certain chunks.
You know, like, it appears for me like hourly.
Really?
Yeah, I fucking hate.
I love the noise.
It's just annoying, I guess.
The noise.
See, we always say PC, but I played it on Mac, I'm so surprised that you guys did not play Minecraft earlier because it's one of the few Mac games.
I jumped into it at one point, but it's just like it's just so overwhelming. I felt like I was glad the Xbox 360 version had a tutorial. Like,
you need to know the recipes of everything.
Yeah, I jumped into Minecraft, you know, a couple of times, and I was like, I just don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, you watched the first Let's Play we did with the five of us, and that was literally the first time I had touched Minecraft. And I think it was the same for Jeff and for Michael as well. Like, I mean, that was our first experience with Minecraft. And, I mean, going back on that now, I'm like, oh, my God. I know. So
it's like you have
stupid.
To watch yourself, like, use a pickaxe on sand.
Yeah.
And then...
It's so good. It's
and like, everyone's really upset about the house, which now you could probably make in 20 seconds.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right. It's like we're trying to figure out how to make like, glass.
10 like, minutes to make it.
Yeah. God, stop. Fucking Ray building the house next door.
That's awesome. It's an awesome moment.
Moment of realization, like, oh, I found the house.
Let's Plays are fun, man.
Dude, well, those are a lot of fun.
Minecraft is a fun game.
I don't know why we stopped doing Let's Plays. We were talking about this before. You did Left 4 Dead. We did ODST back in the day. That was like 3 years ago we did these.
Listen, it's my favorite thing to do. And Achievement Hunter is do Let's Plays, and I'm so glad they've started back up again.
Yeah, we should do Diablo 3 hardcore.
We call them Let's Plays.
I'll do Diablo 3 hardcore.
Yeah,
hardcore.
So speaking of people who have lost stuff, like when we talked about, you know, when you lose a house or you know you lose something on a server, when you just have digital loss, everyone can identify with that. Like the guy burning his house down. We just watched a video where a guy had a Diablo 3 hardcore character on level 60, where death is permanent, mm-hmm. and he loses it, and he's just like. Watching that character die, he just tears his head up. He's like, no! Screaming.
He was like an act three also.
He dives onto his bed.
I couldn't play like he was playing. He was taking his health all the way down. Yeah. It's just nuts.
Anytime I'd get hit, I'd be like, oh, town. Yeah.
I know, right? Get me out of here.
It must be when everyone's level 60 and everyone's super proud of the hours they put in, that must be the most pussy game you'll ever see. Like, everyone's being so cautious every time.
But it makes it a different
peeking
level.
Around corners.
Can you imagine if they had player versus player combat in Diablo 3? That would be it's off coming. The charts. Oh, is it really?
Yeah. The old
with
Diablos
hardcore
had,
players?
The old Diablo, I don't know. The old Diablos had PvP, and I think PvP is going to get patched into Diablo 3.
Jesus.
Those would be ridiculous. But
surely that's dangerous. Surely people are going to want to murder each other in real life.
I think I've heard stories like that.
Yeah, like
well, you can select your servers too. You can pick a non PvP server, right?
Or is
it
yeah,
okay.
Like you can not flag yourself for it.
Okay.
What do you know? What level you are in Diablo 3?
38, I think, somewhere in there.
Kill the shit out of you.
I'm like Act 1 in Nightmare mode. So okay. I'm not quite to the Butcher yet.
Okay. I'm like I'm in Act 1 in Hell.
I will absolutely do a Let's Play with Diablo 3 Hardcore, because when one of our guys dies, it'll just be the end of the world for that person.
Yeah, we could do it. We could do like a series of Let's Plays, like do like, you know, maybe hour-long blocks or something like that.
Mm-hmm. The weird thing is that people enjoy watching people play games, like, unedited. Yeah. If I spend... If we all spent, like, 20 hours playing a game and put it up in 20 parts, people would watch every single one.
Well, it's like Monty. Like, Monty does that.
Now, you say that, but Monty actually watches people just playing the game with no commentary. I mean, the thing I like about Let's Plays is, like...
I used to do that as well, though. Like, games... I watched someone replay the whole of Donkey Kong 64 because I didn't have an N64 anymore and I wanted to see if it was actually good or whether I was just, you know...
Yeah, but you were interested in the game, not the commentary.
No, there was no commentary. So it was just...
So you really just watched somebody play a game?
I think it's because I never completed it properly and I wanted to see, like, what I didn't do. Yeah. And it was probably like 10 hours of viewing.
Yeah, there are games in my life that I would maybe go back now and want to see what the ending is of the game.
Mm-hmm. I watch a lot of stuff on...
Never thought about that before.
I watch a lot of stuff on Speed Demos Archive. Do you ever go onto that site where people
speed runs? Yeah.
They've literally got it down to the point where... I watched someone play Max Payne, the first one, in an hour on the hardest difficulty, the whole game. And he's just... He's got a commentary on it. And he did like 2,000 attempts. He did it in one segment. Like... If he got to the second to last level and died, he would start there from level one.
Dude, you should watch some of the Quake Done Quick stuff.
Yeah.
They have that down to like a science now.
It's fucking insane. It's like there's no way they can do that.
Did you hear that they're going to port in Retina display graphics for Diablo 3 for the new MacBook Pro? It'll run at 2880 by 1800.
The new MacBook Pro looks so nice.
I want one. I got a MacBook Air a year ago. I want this Retina MacBook.
Go buy one.
Did you see?
They're expensive.
Like everything inside it.
It's MacBook Pro prices.
No,
it's not.
Yeah, it's $21.99 start.
Yeah, but for a good one.
For 15 inch.
Yeah, you always upgrade.
For the one, the one I want. It's fucking ridiculous.
Well, that's your fault.
It's my fault.
But do you see all the weird stuff they design inside? Like, every single piece is custom made. They even made asymmetric fans, because fans with, like, little ridges spaced the same distance apart create one frequency of sound that's kind of loud. But if they make them all, like, oddly spaced, it spreads the sound across different frequencies that makes the laptop seem
so quieter. The sound signature isn't as prevalent. Like, you don't hear the whirring as strongly.
So it's like sucking air in, and like everything inside is curved, and there's this weird shaped fan. And it's like, they really...
That's awesome.
They put all kinds of effort into this thing. Wow. It's like a masterpiece. And even though you have to sit through Johnny Ive waffle on about how it's magical and all that stuff, it's actually pretty impressive.
Yeah, it is.
I hate all that Apple talk.
It's like a cult.
You see him sat there, and he's like got his hands out.
Embrace
like,
it. Embrace it.
What we had to do, we had to really
absorb it.
Shut up. Just show the laptop.
One of us.
But I did see a picture of the laptop in a glass case at the press event, and a bunch of other people taking a photo of it, and it looked frightening.
I love that picture.
Yeah. It looks like it's horrible. Jack, it's like worship.
Especially the people who like taking the picture with the iPad.
Jack showed me a funny variant of that.
Yeah, on Reddit today, someone posted a variant of that where they replaced the MacBook Pro with a cat. It's a cat in the glass case, and I was taking a photo of it.
That's fucking funny.
What are they taking a picture of there? Like, what are they going to get out of that picture? You don't even see the pixels.
It's probably a press event. I'm sure they want it for their website or their blog or whatever they're doing.
I think, you know, that bugged the shit out of me when we would go to E3. Jack just got back from E3, but Gus and I used to go a lot earlier in our... Mm-hmm. Can we call this a career now?
Sure.
In our career. We used to go a lot to E3. And I would get aggravated by guys that would just go to E3 and they would walk around the entire time with a video camera in front of them. The entire time.
Yeah. And this is a long time. This predates YouTube. Yeah. So, like, there was not even any way they could have shared it effectively.
And it wasn't them... They just whipped out their phone. It was they dedicatedly brought a camera to do it.
Right. No, phones didn't record video back then. You know, they were just walking around with a video camera watching. They were at E3. They were there at the event, and they were seeing the whole thing through a viewfinder. Yeah. And they would just walk around holding it out.
There's like, pictures of just like, who are you recording this for? Who are
now,
you doing this for?
Now, I've been a part of a photo like that where, you know, everyone's surrounding the one product and like taking photos of it. When they released the Xbox Slim, like the new Xbox 360 Slim.
I thought you said a new kind of fleshlight.
Don't go there.
Just moving up the list, Brian.
All right. I think I'll leave now.
I'm gonna check my email. So, but no, like when they released the Xbox 360 Slim, I was there at the like at the press conference, and then like everyone walked out, and they had a few stations set up, like in the glass case, like that. I was like, here it is, your first look at it, and like it was literally people surrounded it and were taking photos of it.
I can't tell you how much I am ready for the next Xbox at this point. When it first came out, it did one thing, and then they like slop on all these new features, and
like
then
cloud storage, which is fucking awesome, and you don't use.
And some of them are good, but then nothing matches. Like it says recent games, and you've got Netflix with no gamer score, and it's just messy as hell. And nothing really was put on top of each other that well. They just added features here and there, and now it's kind of messy. Yeah. I just want them to redesign the whole console.
Well, I'm amazed by how different the console I use now is in the one I bought.
It's a totally different machine. So even though the hardware has not changed, it's pretty impressive.
The rumor floating around now is I don't know if you guys saw the Ubisoft press conference, but they released footage or they played a live demo on stage of a game called Watch Dogs.
Yeah,
which looks amazing. Like that's by far like my newest like what the fuck is this kind of game? But they're saying the game looks so good, and also the new Star Wars games 1313, they look so good that they're probably being developed for the next gen systems, but they're not allowed to say that.
Right. So what hardware were they running on?
They're running on PCs.
Makes sense.
They're running on high-end PCs that they're saying, but they're saying it's going to be console games, but they're not saying for what platforms.
Yeah, there's a lot of, there's also that Agnes Philosophy tech demo, the Square Enix one.
Agnes Philosophy.
I missed that one too.
It looks fucking amazing. I'm looking at all these new ones, Unreal 4, I'm like, bullshit, this is not current console. Because I know about this stuff, and fuck that tessellation and subsurface scattering. You're garbage. You're not going to fit that on an Xbox or a PS3.
But, you know, you've got to be surprised with what they can
Monty
do.
Monty joining us, by the way.
You look at a launch game compared to the... It's on every single console. You look at the launch game and then the last game that was developed.
I'm totally for new consoles just to make it easier for developers. When we were in development, and we were like, fuck this fucking console. Give me a bit more fucking hard drive space. Or, God, it was... pin in the ass trying to cram everything
you
can.
I'm going to counterpoint you. Anytime you develop, you always be pissed off by the limitations. You'll never reach a point where you're truly happy with
it. And you like limitations, Monty. You said that before.
I like limitations, but just hear the griping from our programmers.
Yeah, but they're always going to gripe.
Remember the days when you didn't even have a hard drive?
Yep.
You remember on the original Xbox, the hard drive... I'm not sure how big it was in gigabytes.
10 gigs.
Yeah, but it said like 50,000 plus or blocks
eight
or something.
Gigs. Blocks.
You remember it said like 50,000 plus blocks.
Yeah.
Did you ever reduce it down from that? I played all kinds of games and all kinds of saves, but by the time the end of that console was there, I was still at plus 50,000 blocks left.
I don't know. I mean, once it moved to more standard storage, like megabytes and gigabytes, then it became more important, like how to use the hard drive space. And it's like, I wonder now if, with cloud storage, if Microsoft is putting rules for standardization of how big a save file is. Like, I play some games where you can save hundreds of times, like BioWare games are usually like this, and it's 4 megs every time you save.
Yeah. Or the Fallout games grow in size. Like, I've had 100 Fallout saves that are all, like, 30 megabytes each.
That's actually what I was thinking of, yeah. And they're huge.
Yeah, and to the point where it slows down your game.
Yeah.
Like, the gameplay experience is diminished. Like, I feel like they should already on their own limit how many saves you can have.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. Like, and then how does the game like that work with cloud storage?
Right.
You know? Are you just constantly like filling that damn thing up? You're probably like me, Gus. Every time I go through a door, it's like save a new save. Yeah. You know? And I never go back to the old ones, but I just have this philosophy of...
It's like, you never know. What if I wanted to make that different decision 30 hours back?
When it's related to an achievement, I'll always make tons of saves and then figure out where I was. Like, if I have to be a certain level or a certain... karma when I do this level
right,
and stuff
that's
like
exactly
that.
What I was thinking of.
I'm not going to play Fallout 3 three times. You could go shove that up your ass.
You totally can do that. You can shove that up your ass.
I played Fallout 3 twice, I think, all the way through, including all the expansions.
So what was the what was your biggest E3 thing from like being here on this end, just watching and reading news reports and stuff like that?
All I saw was Halo 4.
Yeah.
Honestly, from the outside looking in, it looked like it was Halo 4 and that was it. And Watch Dogs was kind of a big deal. And that might have been it. The Nintendo stuff completely bypassed me, except for the dude sitting on the board, whatever that was.
Yeah,
part of the problem that the Wii Fit thing. Most of this stuff is more than a year away, except for Halo 4.
I'll be honest, man. I don't go in for preview stuff in a big way. I
mean, even like so, the Microsoft event, like the actual press conference was pretty badass. And they opened with Halo 4, which is great, and the game looks awesome. I got some hands on with it; it's fantastic. But then at the end of the event, they had like this 20-minute playthrough of Call of Duty Black Ops 2.
That was so weird,
and it just fell so flat. And it was like,
well, I mean, like I'm excited for Black Ops 2 and everything, but I felt like the presentation was too long.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, okay, well, and like some of the cooler stuff, like there was sort of a branching thing now where you can kind of go different directions and do different things. They didn't really call it out. It's like, if you didn't know what that was, you just completely would have missed it. And so it's like, oh, well. But hey, Usher was there.
Yeah. They gotta stop doing stuff like that, because I guess they're just trying to get, like, break out of being an industry event.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, someone pointed out to me, like, on USA Today, like, that was, like, they led with, like, oh, Usher was, you know, at the Microsoft event. It's like, that was their big thing. Like, sort of, like, that. What gamers want to see is not what the large majority of what people want to... You okay, Mom?
Please, get some headphones. That sounds awful. Don't do that.
I was wondering what that was.
I think...
the microphones don't like that.
Oh, okay. I think...
Might as well start punching it, too.
I love these unorthodox attempts. People are talking...
The Usher thing is exactly right. It was on USA Today because, you know, it's Usher. I mean, we gotta start thinking about this game industry thing being more than just for gamers. I mean, that's why there's all that Kinect stuff.
But I feel like, isn't there a way they could make the video game content compelling enough to reach a mainstream instead of having to do something like that? I feel like it's almost shoehorned in.
Yeah. I mean, it was... I mean,
is Usher going to do that?
Well, it's related to Dance Central.
Well, you got USA Today to report on it.
Like, I mean, it's more the same thing. But you know? Really, look, Elijah Woods in season 10.
I'm not going to criticize anybody's career, but is Usher a big enough star right now to do a crossover thing like that?
Well, the big deal, the reason why he was there is because the new Dance Central game, he's releasing new songs in the game.
Okay.
And he choreographed the dances that are in the game. So, like, he was literally on stage doing the dances, and they played footage from the game behind him of that dance, like, in the game. So, it was kind of cool, honestly, but it was like...
No, I can't imagine any gamer is into Usher, and I can't imagine Usher plays Xbox.
I'm into Usher.
But look at how...
His choreography is probably one of the best. There are very few performer singers where they're actually better at the dancing than the backup dancers.
It's a good... Well, yeah. That's okay. I guess that is really
rare. You say who's into Usher. Look how many copies Dance Central 3 has sold. I mean, those games sell a lot, man. Like, you wouldn't believe it, but they actually do. Huh. And so it's kind of, you have to be like, okay, I understand this. This isn't my bag, no, but I get it.
Makes sense. You're right.
I play DDR, and one of the things stopping it from being mega popular is that it's like, what are these songs? You know, it's like, well, I don't know, it's just DDR musicians. And then when you have Dance Central actually put actual music, you're like, oh, I want to play this. It's not gamers that want to play, it's, you know, people.
Are you the best at DDR of anyone you know?
Best is
you've all seen Monty, right?
Yeah.
Best. I mean, define best. There are people who can score better than me.
Hey,
but.
Gavin, I secretly hate DDR. I used to work in an arcade, and those DDR motherfuckers would come in every morning and play nonstop, tear up the game, and then stay there till we closed. We'd have to kick them out.
I felt really bad when I first arrived this time.
I hate customers.
I met Monty for the first time, and instead of saying, like, your job with Red vs. Blue is phenomenal, I was like, I just watched you play DDR, and it was amazing. Like, I felt bad. That was the first thing I said.
My version of DDR is very unique in that I both can score and freestyle at the same time.
Yeah, make it look like it was a natural dance and not you're just stamping your feet at the right time.
I do
the stamping thing.
Yeah. The thing is, like, the reason why I didn't like those people is because, like, we'd have the guys who would come in and just, like, play nonstop, and they get sweaty and smelly.
It's smelly.
And so, like, by the end of the day, it's like, God, you just don't want to go by that area.
But
then also they act like these cocky motherfuckers. So, like, these kids would come up, like, you know, like, little kids would be like, oh, I want to play. And they'd be like, oh, I guess I'll get off now. It's like, shut the fuck up. Like, they're a kid. Let them play the goddamn game.
And the
game,
kid's,
you know,
playing like...
Do you ever a kid pass out from the smell?
Of the other person. No,
that's intentional, so they keep the kids away.
They do just, like, to spray it down after everybody's like,
blow a few extra farts.
But then, like, literally, they would walk in, like, towels and stuff, and then, like, they'd put drinks all over the game. Like, God, come on.
Have you guys ever heard of the movie called The FP?
Oh, man.
That's a Draft House film.
How many times did I hear about that after
I have not heard about it.
It's like a Mad Max post-apocalyptic world where everything is solved via DDR. In the movie, it's called Beat Beat Revolution.
But yeah, that has an Austin tag because Draft House Films released that.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I do not play like them.
It's super campy.
It's very campy. It's like a parody of that exact DDR community that Jack's talking about, where they take it way more seriously than they should.
Man, I was pretty impressed by who you had or who someone else got to announce this week's artwork.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was a surprise. So we have, you know, if you go to ageuploads.com, you can submit a intro to an AWU or, like, a number. So, like, every week we have people, like, saying the number. Like, this week we had someone in, I think, a Calgary Flames hockey game. And, you know, we have people from all over. Like, someone's at Disneyland. Yeah. This week someone sent one in. It was Billy Mitchell from King of Kong saying, like, welcome to AWU number 116. I was like, oh. That's fucking cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I was like, wow, that's
because usually
cool.
You sit through, because there's a ton of crappy ones. So Jack's sitting there like, skipping through, and then he like leapt up to see, Jesus, look at this.
Yeah. So every now and then you'll get one, it's like, oh, that's fucking cool. Like, but it's weird, they come in patches. Like, we had one week where we had two entries from the Great Wall of China.
What?
Like, two separate entries.
The same number?
With the same number.
One day, like, I want two people to be doing it at the exact same place at the same time. I just didn't know. They're like, 160. What?
Yeah. So, obviously, yeah, somebody was in the background of somebody else's video.
But
then they get married. And then they get married years later and find the video.
But one thing, like, now, it's like, the thing is we get a lot of the same stuff. So we get a lot of Minecraft ones now. So I pretty much, like, if you send in a Minecraft one, I'm like, no, thank you. I appreciate it. And we also get one, like, people having, like, guns. Like, people firing off guns. I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to put that in there. That's a little bit strange to me.
The other day, Gavin and I were talking about the movie Chronicle. Did you like Chronicle?
I found it interesting. It wasn't a great movie, but I liked it.
Man, I fucking hated it.
Was that the, like, Steadicam movie?
Yeah.
It was the one about the three kids who have, like, superpowers. It's a good premise, but I don't know. It just didn't jive with me.
You said it was like it had been written by a 15-year-old.
It was like, it was, yeah.
But there's some stuff, like when they discover how they could fly. Like, that was kind of cool. It was like, oh, wow. Like, what would it be like if you actually realized you could fly? And I don't know. I there were cool
things. What drove me crazy is that since it's supposed to, like, shot in that found footage format, it's like every scene they have to, like, establish why the camera's there or how the camera is where it is. Like, oh, look, you bought that new camera.
Yeah, no.
But you've seen that you don't need to do that. Like, the Office, the US one, is shot as though there's a documentary team in there. Because that was originally in the UK one, it was shot as though, like, people would look at the camera. But then they kind of establish that and then they just go away from it. Like, you don't ever think about who's filming it anymore.
The last time they referenced it was when, like, Michael Scott left the show and takes his lava off and walks through security.
Yeah, and it's a similar ending in the original Office where he rips his mic off and then
when Michael left the American office, it was he gave him the mic. He said, hey, let me know when you guys finish this thing. I'd like to see it or something like that.
That's kind of cool. They went like 50 episodes without ever referencing it. You don't have to remind people that's the style. You get used to it.
Yeah.
So I don't know why they would bother doing that in that movie. Especially for a movie.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah.
It was also only like 80 minutes long.
Well, even like Parks and Rec do that, kind of. Like, they've gotten away from it a lot, though. Like, it used to be more of a very Office-style show where it was like, you know, talking head interviews. Mm-hmm. And those still pop up every now and then, but it's almost...
What's weird to me, and Gak went this out the other day, is Modern Family, where they have, like, the talking head stuff, but they never establish that it's a documentary or what's going on there at all.
And I'd seen a lot of clips of Modern Family, like, on the internet, and maybe, like, I'd been around someone's house, and I hadn't seen a full episode. So when I actually sat down and watched a full episode, and they cut to talking heads on a couch, I was like, what? What's going on? Who's filming there? Who's in the house?
I think there's like a shift in filmmaking that's more like trying to immerse the viewer.
I guess people are getting less...
Since reality television is so popular, they're trying to make scripted television appear more like reality.
Also, I mean, just in terms of style, like, you know, I watch a lot of old movies, I watch a lot of new movies and stuff. Like, just in terms of the way the camera is being used these days, it's very different from like 10 years ago. Like, and even if you... you compare, like, if you look at the new Spider-Man versus the old Spider-Man, Gavin, we talked about this, right? Where the camera motion, I study camera motion a lot when just looking at examples. Like, the camera motion during the Spider-Cam shots if you look at the trailer for the new Spider-Man, it's a lot of like shaking and stuff. The old Spider-Man cam shots, they just a lot swooping.
Yeah.
But it's just to kind of get the audience immersed into the ride.
It feels like now they want to make you feel like you're right behind them, and it's like you feel the wind, and it's like, whoa, my god.
Yeah, I think that's just the way filmmaking is kind of evolving.
Yeah, totally.
Well, they do this. I mean, what happens is somebody will adopt a technique. And it then becomes so popular that everyone can use it without explaining it.
Would you say J.J. Abrams kind of helped push that along a lot with the camera shaking?
What I was thinking? I think of Battlestar Galactica, the TV show, because whenever they did the space stuff, they did all that CG with camera movement.
Yeah, yeah.
I felt like the camera was like trying to find what it was going to zoom in on. Like, it kind of moves around and then punches in.
I think it's just a way to mask some bad CG sometimes.
Right.
I do that a bit as well. Not to mess back.
So, take back what I just said then.
Are you talking about J.J. Abrams? What show are you talking about?
Well, no,
J.J. Abrams in general, if you look at like special features of Star Trek, you'll see him like standing behind the DP, like punching the camera to give it the right amount of shake. And they even,
I think I say punching the DP. Like, shake more.
He might as well be. But
I think there was a lot of that in Saving Private Ryan where Spielberg was like smashing the back of the camera. And then I think at some point he had like a drill. And he was just like running a drill to make it just go like. So when he was filming the Normandy stuff.
The CG shots for the new Star Trek. The CG artist had to develop like a mocap rig for just the camera where they would like beat it around and stuff.
Don't please don't do that. Oh my god.
They would do that.
I'm gonna start locking the door just because of you.
They would tap the desk to get the right amount of camera shake. Totally just
that was not a tap.
I wonder if the cameraman
he attacked the desk.
I wonder if the cameraman knows what he's getting into. Like you're there, you're filming, it's the first day of a set and then the director starts just beating the shit out of you when you're trying to film
excuse me, Mr. Abrams? Speaking of new movies, hey, so have you guys seen the trailer for this new Disney movie coming out?
Jesus.
What? Wreck-It Ralph.
Wreck-It Ralph.
So what happened? I feel like I'm living in some alternate universe where I'm not excited about a Pixar movie, but I'm excited about a Disney movie.
Wreck-It Ralph looks pretty good.
Yeah, like Brave doesn't register at all for me. Yeah. But Wreck-It Ralph seems
Scarred
interesting.
From Cars 2.
Yeah, Brave Cars and Cars 2.
Brave looks really good.
It just, I don't know. Something doesn't seem interesting.
I think there's fatigue. There's Pixar fatigue at this point.
Oh, get out of here.
I would disagree. I just feel like the story for Brave just seems generic.
What was a bad Pixar movie?
Like Cars 2 was really good.
I've for years felt like...
Cars 2 is shitty.
I've for years felt like... But I mean, I love Pixar movies. That Pixar has stayed in like a safe zone of the things they make. Where in terms of CG, they use characters and an art style that... allows their characters to like sell in a certain way that if it was done any more realistically they would risk uncanny valley type things.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, it's artistic choice.
It's
right?
Artistic. Yeah. It's artistic choice and also a little bit of a safety.
Did you like the Final Fantasy movie Spirit Within?
Spirit. I did and I didn't.
Okay.
You know what I mean.
Technically, but not story.
A little bit. I mean, you know, I'm a Final Fantasy fan and I grew up and I'm thinking, oh, now they're making a Final Fantasy movie and it has like in tone it wasn't at all like a Final Fantasy movie, but. You kind of ignore that. Go piss.
Yeah. Gavin is like making hand gestures that he has to pee, and it looks like he's coming on to everyone in the room.
Yeah. He had to ask permission to leave the room. Oh, geez.
God damn it.
But I did like it on a technical level.
Gavin slammed his door on the way out. And
I give up.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Fuck it. Let's just stick our mics up our butt.
So, anyway, do you want to talk about Wreck-It Ralph at all, Bernie?
Jesus, thanks.
On your list of podcast notes you made for to remind me to talk about this week.
It just sucks when you have a really good idea, and it's like then if you kind of sit on an idea for more than 5 minutes, somebody else fucking makes
That's
it.
That's why we got to get going, Bernie.
I know. I hear you.
I put my head in a sound empty seat, and I'm like, oh,
there was a couple. There was a couple shots in Wreck-It Ralph that are like stuff we have designed for Break Room.
Yep.
So it's just like... All right.
What is Break Room for those who might not know?
Well, Break Room is a project that we've shown at PAX like two or three different times, and essentially Break Room is the place where video game characters go when they're not in the video game, when the video game is turned off.
It's where they go. It's like the central hub, and then they go to their games there.
I haven't seen the Wreck-It Ralph trailer.
Oh, it's...
They have a Game Central Station in there.
Shit. They even have game characters can go... One of the game characters starts going into other games and is out of place.
Right. No. Which was... Yeah. No.
Bernie, that new thing I was telling you about, I'm going to get started on it today.
Screw season 10.
You should watch the trailer.
It is a lesson to learn, though, if you're making content. If you have an idea, make it right.
I felt like the way that trailer starts with the Wreck-It Ralph gameplay also looked very authentic. It looked very much like a game from that era of that style.
That's what I was saying about Break Room. It's just the way the current Break Room is made. It's a little too non-game like.
Mm-hmm.
Can we post? Have we posted the Break Room?
Just saying that. I mean, we've talked. Yeah, we could probably post it. I'm sure we could post the test piece we did for Break Room.
Should have posted it before the Wreck-It Ralph trailer.
Somewhere, isn't it?
We've it up places. It's in our PAX panels. I mean, we show it. Okay. Yeah. Like we've shown it like two or three times.
But the cool thing about Wreck-It Ralph is the fact they have licensed characters. Like you see, Zangief is in there, and like M. Bison, Bowser's in there.
Was it really? What were they really called?
Yeah,
Zangief?
It says my name's Zangief. Oh, really? I'm a villain. Yeah.
Holy those are all Capcom characters, though. So I wonder if they made a deal with Capcom.
Is Pac-Man? Was Pac-Man?
Namco.
Somebody did a really funny screenshot saying new Capcom characters revealed that are going to be in Wreck-It Ralph. And then the screenshot was a clip from Wreck-It Ralph, but there were two other characters masked, and you had to pay $5.99 for DLC to see them in the movie. That was pretty fucking funny.
Paid DLC.
You know, the people who really like were crying about DLC when it first came out, like, this is going to become a thing and it's going to be everywhere, they're pretty much right. I mean, like, DLC is a huge...
Yeah, remember when the horse armor came out for, was it Morrowind?
No, Oblivion, yeah.
Was it Oblivion? People were like, whoa, it's like $3 just for fucking armor.
But do you have to buy the add-on equipment.
Well, it's, stuff, a, it's like a big deal for Capcom games because, especially in their fighting games, it's like whole characters that you're downloading and unlock for.
I would never buy equipment or armor or anything like that, but if it's like another story, like Grand Theft Auto 4, the two episodes that came after that were amazing. Yeah, the Ballad of Gay Tony was better than GTA 4.
Yeah, Rockstar does a really, really good deal. So even like Red Dead Redemption doing the Undead Nightmare. I mean, that's.
Oh, Undead Nightmare, you didn't even need Red Dead Redemption for, right? It was like its own standalone.
I think
thing?
They released a separate disc, as a matter of fact, eventually.
That's the way to do DLC.
I understand the whole, like, especially with Capcom's problems with the DLC thing, the on-disc DLC. But at the same time, they had an explanation for it, which made a lot of sense. It's just that when you have Street Fighter 4, then Super Street Fighter 4, then Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition, when it's just difficult to put this content out and justify the like the extreme amount of balance that goes into a fighting game, where if it's there, they're taking care of the bulk of it while handling some number crunching on the back end that they release later, which they don't have the development time for the current release. It's kind of complicated.
I could see that.
Yeah. The thing about downloading a massive chunk of stories, though, is that when I pay the money, I feel like I'm getting something. When I'm downloading a piece of armor and it's like 13 right. kilobytes because it's already on the disc, I've just been locked out of it, and it goes, there's something about paying money for that.
For a fighting game character, like there's more balance than the amount of polygons you have to download. You know what I mean? Like, there's just certain, like...
Well, I think that's different. He's talking about, like, a piece of equipment something that's, like, even more inconsequential.
So the Capcom joke, it's like, that's part of the reason. They've been known to do that, and it's a hard thing to both justify and excuse, you know?
I'll tell you something, though, on the flip side of that I hate when I buy a video game, and I paid $60 for the game, and I am locked out of shit on the game.
Yeah, because you've paid, and they've locked you out of stuff you've paid for.
Well, yeah, it's like, you pay again. And not that I have to make pay again, but that I have to play the game for 40 hours to get to a certain track or something. It's just locked. I can't, like...
Well, that's just progression, though. What do you mean?
Sometimes it's progression, but sometimes it's not. Like, I can give you an example. Like, for Lego Star Wars, it's like unlocking all the characters, you know, and going through it and, like, building up all the coins to do it. Especially for kids' games, that's a huge thing, and it's like it does keep the kids occupied. But then my kids will get all the levels in Lego Star Wars unlocked and all the characters unlocked, and then they delete the save game because they want to start over again. And then after like a minute of that, they're like, "Oh no, I want to go back and have my characters." Like, you fucking delete them. So they actually have the ability to buy characters for Lego Star Wars.
So you just buy your way further ahead into the game.
I'm one of those people that I want to just unlock everything. I don't want to play. I don't have time to play Tiger Woods for 80 hours to unlock everything.
Yeah,
I just want to play a golf game.
See, that used to be a cheat code where you could just type in a cheat code and boom, you got everything unlocked. Now you have to pay for it.
What happened to cheat codes?
They became DLC.
They became
DLC. Yeah,
but I've got some cheat codes from my childhood stuck in my head.
We're
locked in. Like the other day, we were playing Minecraft, and I was like, Genie, Jafar, Aladdin, Abu. That takes you to the cloud level in Aladdin on the Super Nintendo. Why do I remember that?
IDDQD is God mode. IDKFA is unlock keys and ammo.
Do you know the Mike Tyson code for Mike Tyson Punch-Out? I used to know that one.
Oh, God. It was. It started with 007, didn't it?
I'll look it up, Gus.
Street Fighter 2, Don R, Up L, YB. Could play mirror matches.
Dude, so I played... Mirror matches, so at E3, I actually did an interview with this guy, but I played Tony Hawk Pro Skater HD, the new, like, remastered version of Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
Uh-huh.
I sat down with Tony Hawk in the warehouse, the very first level, and I was like, oh my god, I know this level back to front. I jumped and immediately threw out a 900. I was like, oh, I remember the special moves. It's like I haven't played that game in a decade, and I immediately remembered exactly what to hit. And I was
That's awesome.
Wow.
That is one of that warehouse level on Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 is one of those levels that's just synonymous with video games. I mean, everybody recognizes. Like, that was the one level everybody played in that game.
Yeah. You go down that first hill with Superman by Goldfinger playing, like, you'll immediately be taken back a decade. And be like,
that's awesome. I'm really excited for that game. My interest in Tony Hawk games fell off after, like, 3 or something. I'd really love to go back and see this.
I did an interview with the main producer on the game, and I don't know how the audio turned out, so I might have to scrap it. But, like, it was a really cool interview. We were just talking about that, like, talking about you have to preserve those memories, because people remember that game so fondly, to go back and mess with it in any way is like you have to be very, very careful. And like they took that into heart, and when they were doing it, and
I feel like that's something they addressed well with Halo Anniversary, where they just took the engine from the original game and then put, you know, nicer graphics on it, but you could still toggle back and forth between original graphics and new graphics, so you could still re-experience those same memories you had, which also, on the other hand, see better
It was
graphics.
Almost kind of like the shut up button. It's like, oh yeah, this is different. You know, it's not. They didn't get you, and you hit it. You know, oh no, shut up. Let me go back to the new polished version. Yeah. And those cutscenes, the terminals in Halo Anniversary were awesome.
There's some amazing stuff in those. There's one where Guilty Spark just gets bored And he starts ejecting pieces of the Halo into space. And it's like, yeah.
Keep himself busy.
Yeah, he's been just waiting around for 100,000 years.
What do you think about the... are right. The Mike Kyson code begins with 007. It's 007-373-5963.
Wow. I think the 007 is the only part I can remember because of James Bond.
I remember RL up down A up XA. I have no idea what game that's from.
Really?
Someone let me know.
What is it? RL?
RL up, up down, down A up XA.
So it must be a Super Nintendo XA. Game.
Yeah, sounds like it. Yeah.
I didn't remember the thing, but I did it with my hand in the air, and I think that's what it was.
So you think you'll be remembering the Halo like PanCam stuff 10 years from now?
Yeah, I remember that.
I can't say it, but I can do it with my hands.
Hitman 2, all weapons.
Oh, the crap out of Hitman 2. It was an amazing game. Oh, I cheated.
You reveal that you cheated in Hitman 2, which is one of your first 1,000-point games that I
remember. No, Hitman Blood Money was one of my first. Hitman 2 was Silent Assassin.
Oh, speaking of which, Absolution looks awesome. Oh, my God. I got to see some of that. That looks really fucking
I've
cool.
I've always been massively into the Hitman games.
Yeah.
The Hitman 1 sat so well with me because it was the first game that I've ever seen to have Ragdoll.
Yeah.
But very early on. Like, this is like 90s Man. With Ragdoll. And it was
so wasn't there in Quake, wasn't there like a separate Ragdoll add-on you could get for it? Like Quake 2?
I don't know.
I'm having like a vague memory of like a game where you could download a separate Ragdoll pack. Yeah.
All I remember about Quake is Quake was the game where somebody made the Capture the Flag mod. Yep. And no other game had Capture the Flag. And now every single game that comes out since then, whoever this guy was who made a mod, completely changed video games.
The Capture the Flag mod also came with that fucking grappling hook. You remember that?
I love the grappling hook.
The grappling hook was the best thing ever. You fucking just shoot up on the ceiling and just camp down.
Yeah.
Wait, what did you do with it?
You had a grappling hook as one of your items.
Yeah.
So you could like use it like Bionic Commando, and you could use it to like hang yourself from the ceiling or any piece of geometry in the world.
That sounds awesome.
So you could also do it to other players. You could grapple them, and then you were like... Attached to them.
It was really cool. And yeah. There's never been a game with a grappling hook really since
Just
then.
Cause kind of did similar stuff. Like tethering stuff together and hooking on stuff.
Was that new Bionic Commando remake good?
I never played it.
It was all right. People like the remake of the side-scroller one more than they like the 3D one.
Yeah, people like those. But again, preserving those memories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It just threw out like a dotted line.
Yeah.
And then it had a little hook at the
end. Yeah, it had like a three-pronged... Like really low res graphic.
I found a video of it here.
That was so much fun. Those were some of my most fond like CTF. Or some of my most fond memories with Quake was with that mod and with that fucking grappling hook.
We talked about it before, but have you ever played Jailbreak?
Oh yeah, yeah.
That was one of my favorite mods ever, and that just doesn't exist anymore. That was where when you died, you respawn in jail, but then you could break out of jail if there are enough of you in jail.
Yeah. It's like all these weird game types. Like people were just figuring out multiplayer. It's like a new thing.
Yeah,
and so it's like trying to see what's stuck, and like you have all these weird. Things like some stuff like Capture the Flag sticks with a grappling hook or Jailbreak, like these modes don't exist anymore. It's just it didn't work out. Catch on.
I have so many fond memories of playing that. I mean that was like my favorite time playing games on a PC.
What I'm worried about is becoming you. Because whenever you talk about a game that was made before I was born or something like that, like we're talking about
what?
What was that game we played in Trials today?
Missile Command.
Yeah, so that's a really old game.
I mean, technically, when was Missile Command made?
I guess 1977.
77. So
I thought it was like 81 or 82.
That's what I thought. 81,
like,
82.
When someone talks to me about a really old game, I wasn't there, so I don't like feel the enthusiasm for it. I'm wondering if when I'm talking about Halo to my grandkids, they're gonna be like, idiot.
1980,
crappy game. Mm.
That won't be a problem if we keep making old games over again.
Which is what's happening.
Well, I mean, honestly, I would rather play Doom 2 multiplayer, like 4-player multiplayer, than almost anything else.
Yeah, but now you sound like an old man.
Exactly.
And I don't want to sound like an old man.
So the answer to that is yes. Yeah. Is yes. You're gonna get old, and you know your stuff. And, like,
so were there ever video games that people would tell you about? When you were younger.
No, because we were there when it started.
Yeah, it's like from the beginning.
Yeah. No one was like, oh, remember
Pong. It's like, oh, remember that Star Trek game we could play on the oscillator? That was cool.
No, I can tell you there's nothing lamer than hearing people be nostalgic about stuff that you didn't care about. Yeah. Like, it was too young for you to deal with. Like, people would talk about Pokemon or what's this thing that people are always talking about? Not Rugrats or some other kind of show. Arnold? Was it Arnold?
Hey Arnold.
I'm like, what the fuck?
I never understood why they used to call him Football Head, because a football for me was a different shape.
Oh.
He had a shape like
stop.
An egg.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Stop it.
No,
like 50 years from now, kids are going to be like having haptic glasses and gloves and
haptic glasses.
Yeah,
I'm going to touch this with my eye.
Yeah, But yeah, and they're gonna be like, "Oh, I remember playing Halo." I'm like, "Fuck you!"
It's like that scene in Back to the Future too. Like when he plays the video games, like, yeah. You have to use your hands for it. That's a baby's game.
Yeah. Was that Elijah Wood?
Yeah, I think that was.
Well, it was one.
It was either Elijah Wood or the guy that was with Elijah Wood. I think it was.
Was he talking about Kinect?
Samwise?
He's talking about like an arcade game where you have to like pick up a gun and shoot.
Let me see here. I'm just going to look this up.
But yeah, I do think that was Elijah Wood.
Yeah. He was the kid either in the first movie or the second movie. Or he didn't do both of them, did he?
I don't remember him in the first. I'm pretty sure it was him in the second. I'm looking him up.
Gavin, did you have arcades in Europa?
Uh-huh.
When you were growing up? What was your first arcade game you ever played?
I don't think I ever was allowed to play them.
So you've never played an arcade game in your life?
Yeah, I have.
What was your first fucking arcade game you ever played?
Take it easy, everybody's friends here.
I don't know. Like, once you play an Xbox, you don't really care about
big machines. What do you consider to be the penultimate arcade game?
The ultimate.
Sorry.
What did people say?
The first annual.
What did you just say, though?
I said penultimate.
This is a conversation I had with Jeff.
It's a common mistake.
Jeff was saying pentultimate. Which I thought was
different. That's just dumb.
I thought it was separate to penultimate. And I was like, what does pentultimate mean? He's like, it means the best. I was like, you sure you don't mean penultimate, as in second to last? He's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, that's a great thing about Jeff, is Jeff can be wrong with confidence. Yeah. And then you automatically believe him, and then everybody in the room is wrong.
All right, good.
Elijah Wood was in Back to the Future 2 as the video game boy.
Okay.
My answer to the arcade question is, I obviously didn't care enough to remember what the first one I played was.
Wow, so your first experience with video games was a console?
It was a Super Nintendo. I played Super Mario Land.
Oh. Wow. That's crazy.
Super Mario World.
What was your favorite arcade game of all time?
First one or favorite?
Favorite of all time.
Probably Mortal Kombat 2.
Hmm.
I have a shitload of awesome memories of Mortal Kombat 2, like playing in Aladdin's Castle and Barton Creek Mall when I was a kid.
I think for me it was Street Fighter 2.
Yeah. Like, I mean, well, those
that's
games,
your
I mean,
first arcade game?
No, it's my favorite.
Because my first arcade game was Akari Warriors, which I loved. I actually have Akari Warriors in my garage at my house.
I think my first arcade game was Tempest.
Yeah.
Do you think people listening to this are like,
I don't know.
What's our audience like in terms of this retro stuff?
Well, like, it all depends. I mean, retro is very specific. We always talk about, like, for Achievement Hunter, maybe having a retro. What was that horrible name you guys came up with?
A Horrorwind.
Well, now it's a look back at some stuff.
It was AH Rewind, which looked like a Horrorwind. Because the logo went between.
I remember when Jeff made that. You walked past, it's like, what's a Horrorwind? And he was like, just never made it.
But, yeah, retro is so specific to everybody. I mean, it's like, your version of retro is not my version of retro, and everyone else's retro is just lame.
Yeah.
It's just shit you don't care about.
I feel like we have, maybe us three here have
some... I haven't cared about the last 20 minutes of the podcast.
We have some commonality as far as retro goes, because I think we started around the same time.
Yeah.
I feel like we started, I know I started young, I'm sure, you know, we all started playing young, so we have that same... origin, anyway. Yeah. So that's like the same base language.
Yeah, I mean, I was I think 4 or 5 years old, and I was playing at Skaggs, and like way up in North Austin. They had Akari Warriors, and then they had Tubin, and I played those.
Oh, I love Tubin.
And so, and then they eventually got Narc, and then
I liked Tubin because it also like it changed the common way you interface with a game. That's what I remember most about it.
What do you mean?
It didn't have a joystick.
It was all buttons.
You had 5 buttons, so you could paddle behind on the left. Or behind on the right, and then the forward on the left, the forward on the right, and then the 5th button was to throw a can.
Did you guys ever play the original Street Fighter where
I did.
It had the buttons where the harder you pressed it was the fierceness of the punch?
Three levels of analog.
Yeah, you hit it really hard.
It was just
that machine must have had the crap kicked out of it.
It had these giant like trapezoid shaped buttons that were supposedly analog, but it was really you just pressed it hard to get fierce punch and pressed it light to get light punch.
Hey, buddy.
What?
How long's our flight?
18 hours. But there's a game, actually, that I want to say this, just in case someone knows where there is a version of this. There was a game I played in arcades, which is probably the best football game I've played ever on anything. It was John Elway's Team Quarterback. And they had it on the NES, but that was garbage. They had it in the arcade, and it would record your profile in the game.
Go to KLOV.com.
KLOV.
It's Killer List of Video Games.
I've seen it on there. It says, like, 8 people have it. But it's like, how do I get to where I can see it? But anyway, in passing, what they had was another joystick for passing, which was spring-loaded, to where you pulled it back, and then you aimed, and you could lead receivers and, like, put the ball right there, and you let go of the spring-loaded joystick. That was how you passed.
That's cool.
No one has ever implemented anything like that. Now it's just like you just... highlight the receiver and hit A to throw it to him. You know?
Did you ever play the arcade version of Tecmo Bowl?
Yes. Which, it was like rear projected.
Yeah, it was weird. It was like three screens, mm-hmm. and you'd sit like four people at it. And you're right, it was rear projected. It was a giant cabinet.
Huge.
And it was a very similar gameplay style, except instead of being top down like the NES, it was like a three-quarter view. And like everyone was animated a lot more like cartoonish. Yeah. It was pretty fun.
So the KLOV site, they have a forum attached to it that's like basically arcade collectors and owners. And I got into a big run where I started, you know, collecting arcade games. I actually have about 9 now.
Crazy.
And you can find pretty much anything. You can literally say, like, you can have on your profile, like, I'm looking for these games and I have these games, and people will make trades. And I mean, I got a full arcade machine of Heavy Barrel, which
How
is sort
do
of
you
the,
have the space.
I love Heavy Barrel.
He has his garage.
I have a garage.
That's a fucking great game.
So Heavy Barrel is basically the spiritual sequel to Ikari Warriors. It has the joystick that rotates, mm-hmm. you know. And so I got that for $100 delivered to my house.
That's awesome.
For $100.
And you Heavy Barrel, correct me if I'm wrong, that's the one you had to collect like the little pieces of the bigger gun. Yeah, and when you got them all, you got like this fucking giant gun.
Hey, Bernie.
It's fucking awesome.
Bernie, yeah. You remember at PAX East when they had that retro arcade room?
That was badass. Yes.
I saw the arcade room. Like, oh my God, a retro arcade room. I walked in, went, and walked right back out.
I kind of liked it. I didn't know.
Too cool for it, huh, Monty?
I thought it was cool, but I was like, I got better things to do.
Well, it's also like if you see somebody else, they had to curate what machines to bring. Whoever curated that particular arcade had my similar taste, yeah. you know?
I went up to S&B Amusements a couple weeks ago. You know, it's a local place that fixes and sells, you know, old arcade machines. And mm-hmm. I was looking at, you know, it's just basically a warehouse with a bunch of arcade parts and a few finished machines. And I was like, wow, this is awesome. Like, this game, I haven't seen it forever, this game. And I was like, oh, man, you didn't have Operation Wolf by any chance, do you? And I was like, you wish. I was like, what, is that hard to get a hold of? He goes, I only know one person with an Operation Wolf, and he will not let anyone touch it.
God.
Gavin looked like he was about to fall asleep.
Gavin, I'm with you.
Operation Wolf was like the first game I can remember that had like a gun on it.
Do you know, yeah. I felt really embarrassed one day when I used to have a Super Nintendo, and it was secondhand. Like, my parents bought it off someone else. And there was that scope thing. Like
Super Scope 6.
Yeah. So I would always try and play this game. Scope. And after a while, I played it like 50 times. I was like, it's always kind of the same, and I never really... like, stay in the same level for very long. I realized that the scope never had any batteries in it, and I was just watching the demo on the start screen. I was like, I never once played that game. I thought I was playing it constantly. All my friends used to come around and play it, and we just watched.
So even at a young age, you were
the start screen. How was I to know?
Because it probably didn't
start.
No, I don't know. My parents weren't, you know, they didn't know anything about games, so, and I didn't either. I was new.
Clearly.
I was like 7 years old.
This was like 5 years ago.
Gavin, that is devastatingly stupid.
That's so stupid.
Devastatingly stupid. That's the best way to describe Gavin.
This guy always jumps here, and I always miss this guy, and then I'm somewhere on a snow level.
I mean, come on!
Gavin, there's going to be a day where we just play a movie on your computer of you working, and you're going to think you're working.
Gavin, that is totally unacceptable to just say that.
I was like 7 or something.
What? 7? But that would be like...
You were in school at that point, right?
That would be like you telling us about the time that you learned about outdoors.
I thought it was outside, but it was just a house plant.
I knew there was 4 rooms, but then we opened one door, and there was a sky, and it was amazing.
In Europe, the Super Scope was called the Nintendo Scope.
Ooh.
Well, that's a original name, the Nintendo Scope.
Did you have Mario Paint? Did you ever use that?
And get the I loved Mario Paint.
Let's get off the road. Since we were talking about modding, why don't we talk about the mod that I was showing you guys earlier?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So I was showing Gav and Gus. We actually recorded the video for mm-hmm. it for Achievement Hunter. It's a mod that we got sent because we talked about this on a previous podcast. I said it would be very cool if there was, first of all, an MMO where you had one life, because that would make you really cautious about what you're doing. And then later on we talked about, well, it would be great also if there was a game that was just a zombie simulator. Not like Left 4 Dead, but like the world is taken over by zombies and you just have to survive and go out for forage for stuff. Turns out somebody made that.
Yes.
There's a mod for a game called Arma 2, which nobody has ever heard of, this game Arma 2. Nobody I know has played it ever. And they made this. Somebody made a mod for it called Day Z, Gavin.
Uh-huh.
Day Z.
Day Z.
Thank you.
Daisy sounds like a flower.
And so I was showing it to Gus and Gav. We put up a video. We'll probably link it in the link dump, I'm sure.
Yeah, hopefully it's out by this time.
But yeah, it's a crazy game. You start on a beach, and you've got a gun, and you've got a can of beans, and it's just the rule is just survive.
What I like about this podcast now is that people are actually posting on Reddit what you're about to talk about. Like, there was a thing on Reddit saying, Bernie plans on talking about this on the next podcast.
That was in the DayZ subreddit.
Yeah.
So I posted a journal saying I was going to talk about this, because sometimes in my journal I post notes for next Wednesday.
Right, stuff that you missed.
Like, you were trying to say something about 20 minutes ago. You kept trying to start something, and we just got off track. I wonder what that was that
I
you
forget
were,
now yeah,
you were
going to say. Well,
probably, I think it was, he came back to it. It was that video game list.
I thought it was
was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought I was trying to bring up something E3 related.
No, I was talking about Wreck-It Ralph, but we did get to that. So I don't know.
It was something that happens
all
the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm going to bring it up in a few minutes.
It drives people crazy. On Twitter, someone wrote to me, and they go, last week you were about to say what you were jealous of. Gavin has a 1,000-point game. What is it? You kept trying to say it, and they kept cutting you off.
There was a moment recently where I was listening to a 3-year-old podcast that I was on, and there's a point where we were talking about something, and I knew exactly what I was about to say. I never said it. I remember the exact thing I was going to say 3 years ago.
What were you saying?
Oh, Christ, Monty, I don't know.
No, I know what you mean, though. When I listen back to the podcast, I have the same internal reactions to what I end up saying on the podcast.
It's the same thought process. You're getting those same things, the same things triggered.
Sometimes you forget that you did say it. It's like, oh, and then you go and say it. It's like, oh, yeah, I did say that at the time.
That happened to me with the Cinnamon No video with Joel and I, because I hadn't seen that video when we recorded audio for it, and I watched it again, and I laughed at the exact same spots as I do in the video. Like, I have the exact same reaction every time I watch that video.
It's pretty funny when it happens.
Sometimes I'll go back, and, like, through the Internet Archive, I'll look at the old Drunk Gamers site, and I'll read something, like, man, this is really funny. Like, oh, I wrote it. You know, 10 years ago, this is something
you
wrote.
You must get that with Red vs. Blue a lot.
Because I have talked about that in the podcast before, I think. I've talked about journals.
Yeah, like when I did season 7, I obviously watched 1-6.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you walked in on when I was watching some bit, or I was watching something just for reference, and you're cracking up. Because it's your humor. And like,
right.
I guess you've forgotten that you made the joke, or
completely forgot it,
and you find it funny because you found it funny when you wrote it.
Right,
it's just really funny watching you laugh at it.
It is weird after 10 years to have things that I can sit down and watch, and it's like literally written. Everything is in my style of humor, and I don't remember it at all. I sit down and watch, I'm like, ha ha.
If you were to sit down and watch Red vs. Blue from episode 1,
I'm gonna head out.
Bye, Ronnie. We're about to wrap up soon anyway.
Stuff to do.
Busy guy.
Hey, great episode this week. Episode 3 was awesome, dude.
Gotta make more.
Gotta make the donuts.
If you were to sit down and watch a Red vs. Blue episode 1 to now, how many hours of content is that?
16, Monty?
Bernie Burns.
Oh, cool. I know what that is. Thanks. Oh,
God. Thank you. God damn it,
Monty. Monty came in. He dumps a pocket in between the 5 mics and then slams the door.
What the fuck? I'm gonna start locking that door.
I've gotta start taking a picture of Gus's face when he does this face when he's annoyed. Sometimes you don't say it, but you're just like, it's like a facial sigh. It's like your face droops down in size, and that's what you do. You're like,
what the fuck is that, Bernie?
I have seen that look on Gus's face my entire life.
Did you buy one of those?
What is that?
The name of the box is First Class Sleeper.
Let me see that box.
It's not what you think it is, Gus. It's not the thing where you lean forward.
Oh, I thought it was the thing where you lean forward.
Yeah.
Did you get that on, like, SkyMall?
No, I was literally just talking to a friend of mine who racked up 125,000 miles last year flying.
Wow, Jesus. Impressive.
And he said, if you're going to Australia, get this. And he said, just trust me, just get it. So I'm just trusting it. I'm getting it. So
looks like lumbar support or something.
Fuck you. I know. It's like a thing you just sleep on.
That looks good. I thought you got that stupid thing in SkyMall that you have to inflate and then you lean forward on.
Yeah.
You want that.
No.
I want that. That thing looks terrible.
We should just get it for our desk here at work.
You know, when I'm on a plane and I'm feeling tired, I can't... I'm going to blow that up right now.
We're about to wrap up. Wait till after we're done.
When I'm on a plane and I want to...
You're doing it into the mic.
Product testing.
When you're on a plane and you want to...
When I want to be... When I want to sleep. I actually find it... I can't lean back and be comfortable. I find it easier just to, like, lean forward and, like, put my hand to the back of my head, and I'm there, and I'm realizing that's the brace position. Yeah. So, like, other people are thinking I'm scared of the plane crashing.
It's okay, so what's
but that's actually comfortable.
When you're sitting in a seat, where does your space end and the next person's begin?
The armrest.
The armrest is disputed territory. Depending on the claim and depending on who's in the middle or who's on the edge.
Yeah, if you claim the armrest, that's yours for the entire flight.
Spilling over the armrest into another seat is unacceptable.
Unacceptable.
Absolutely. Unacceptable.
Especially if you spill under the armrest, which some people have the weight to do.
See, I get window seats. I always make it a point to get a window seat, and I flatten myself up against that wall because I fucking hate touching other people while I'm flying. Yeah. But then I have these people like just throw their elbows out. It's like, what are you doing?
Dude, you gotta give the armrest to the dude in the middle.
The middle seat. I'll concede it to whoever's in the middle.
Yeah, yeah, I'm fine with that. But it's just like those people who are like, why your arm is in my lap?
I sat next to a dude recently who apologized like as soon as he got on the plane because he was a big dude. Like, not just fat, but tall. This guy must have been like 6'6", 6'7", and just big. And, like,
big dude.
He just massively sits down in the seat. He's like, I'm really sorry, man. I can't help it. I was like, don't worry. You're cool. Don't sweat it. I appreciate the sentiment.
Was it Kevin Smith?
I don't mind the middle because you can spread your knees.
Let me tell you something that pissed me off where I ran into a guy like that. Where I was flying back from Australia the last time we went down there to promote DVDs. And at the check-in, they said, oh, do you want to pay $70, $75 I think it was, to upgrade to an exit row? And as Gus, as you know, the exit row has a lot more room.
Yes.
And on the international flight, it was against a bulkhead exit row, so I could leg my legs all the way out.
Right, there's no row of seats in front of you.
Got you. Then I get on it, and I find out, guess what? Nobody is sitting in the seat next to me as well. Best international flight of all time.
Wow.
Then, flight takes off. 6'8" dude gets up, comes over to my seat, and sits down in that empty seat, goes, thank God this stayed open. He goes, I can't stand being in those small seats. I'm like, you motherfucker, I paid for this goddamn
seat. Normally the airline or the flight attendant should be aware of that and kick him out.
The dude was a really big dude. I mean, he was really big. But then now my seat, which I paid for, now has the big dude next to me that I just can't, get comfortable next to. Yeah.
All right, we need to start wrapping this up because we've been going for a long time.
On my flight from Dallas to Austin, the last time I flew in, it was a very empty flight. And I was on the exit row and two other dudes were. And she comes over and is like, you're aware you're on the exit row, do all that stuff. And the other guys just went, I'm going to sleep. So he got up and went to a different row and just, like, laid down across all three seats. So I'm the only one in the X-ray. It was kind of scary.
Well, that's kind of cool, though.
Because the plane crashes, I'm the guy. There's no one else on the other three rows of exit.
Let me get this straight. So if the plane crashes, the scary thing is that you have responsibility?
You have to open the door, and you'll be the first one out.
I don't know how that door works. I probably knock myself
out. It's like a super scope. It's like there's no batteries in this thing.
You know what? Honestly, though, if I was on a plane and Gavin was the only one in the exit row, I would probably be a little scared. So he might have a point. Like, his stupid. I think he's like, maybe he's thinking about himself in the third person or something. Man, where he's realizing that he's probably not the person who should be
there. We didn't get a chance to talk about it. I wanted to talk about that Air France 447.
Talk about it.
We don't have enough time. We're already really long.
All right.
So what?
So the last words on the black box for that flight are the pilot saying, "But what's going on?"
Scary.
I mean, that's like the worst fucking thing.
That was literally the last transmission.
That's the last thing on the black box.
What's going on? Bam.
Nah, they're gonna.
Yeah. They'd already been falling. He didn't know it. They were falling for minutes. They had no idea.
Well, what was all this altitude stuff saying? Was it?
It's a long explanation, but the short version is the most junior co-pilot had one of the sticks, and in an Airbus, in a Boeing, the two sticks are connected. So if you turn one, the other one turns also. Yeah.
Thank God we're talking about this.
In an Airbus, that's not the case. They move independently. So if one person's moving the stick, the other person doesn't know. So the most junior co-pilot was pulling back, trying to ascend, but no one else knew. They were trying to figure out what's going on. The plane had stalled.
Oh,
it was essentially barely moving forward at 60 knots and was falling like this. The onboard computer thought, there's no way that we're in the air doing this. We must be on the ground. So it shut off the warnings, thinking it was on the ground.
Well, that's your problem.
Enjoy your flight, boys.
So, I mean, they were going 60 knots. I think their airspeed indicator still kept telling them that. The stall alarm went off for a minute, and then they ignored it. But they were essentially stalled, were going like this, and just fell straight into the ocean at 120 miles an hour.
Do you want to go to Australia at maybe a different time?
Right, I know. With all of our coincidences we're having, we're talking about this now.
I'm going to be the guy opening the door on this flight, and I'm going to knock myself out with the emergency door. That's exactly what's going to happen.
The tubes on the exterior of the plane that measure airspeed had frozen over because they were flying through a storm.
Uh-huh.
So their airspeed indicator got fucked up. So the most junior co-pilot thought, oh, well, it's just like a takeoff. I'll increase the throttle, and I'll make the plane climb.
I would do that.
But when you're at 37,000 feet, you're already at maximum capacity. You know, the air's so thin up there that he did that there was no increase in lift at that point. So
there's less air resistance on the underneath.
Stop talking.
He was trying to ascend at 7,000 feet a minute.
Gus, you've finally done it. I want to end the podcast.
Yeah, you said you didn't want it.
No, go ahead. And what else happened?
So then as a result, they stalled. They fucking fell belly first into the Atlantic.
And they
were in a range, in an area where they could not communicate with any tower. So no one knew that the plane was even missing until it didn't land.
Man, and then a paraplegic guy could start walking around again on an island. It was pretty cool.
They didn't find the black box till 2 years later.
Oh, shit.
How would you find a fucking black box in the ocean?
At the bottom of that's fucking crazy.
Does it have a transponder to help find it?
Yeah, but the transponder died a long time ago. Like, the transponder, I think, only has batteries that let it go for a couple weeks.
Do you think there's still sunken treasure, like in the Bahamas?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah. The Tesseract's down there somewhere, right?
Don't Jesus, shut up.
All right, well, I'm glad you guys are getting on a plane now.
Yep, enjoy. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for that, guys.
I hope you get an exit row. Don't worry, I'll take care of it.
So I want to talk a little bit more about DayZ because it leads into something else.
Okay.
So this DayZ server that we're going to be setting up, I've already gotten one. We're going to set it up for sponsors of the site to maybe start having more like gaming servers and gaming nights to do more stuff for our sponsors. Because we had this like mishap with the with our video where – one of the benefits for sponsorship on the site is you can download videos. All of a sudden, that service stopped.
I was wondering where that option went when I was uploading Blip.
Well, yeah, or the people that we use for the service, they just stopped offering that. Which I can understand why they would, but it's like, then it's also like, oh shit, we got to figure out a new solution for it.
So we are fixing that though, right?
No, we got to figure it out.
Yeah, we're working on it. It's just going to take a while. It's 10 years of video that we have to like re-upload and then re-link. Nope. It's a fucking daunting
which
task.
Which we've already done before, but we did it 5 years, we did it 7 years, now we're doing it 10 years, you know? Yeah.
So we're making a DayZ server.
Yeah, so we're gonna make a DayZ server, and
you know the more you say it, I gotta agree with him. It's, gotta start saying DayZ.
DayZ.
Okay, DayZ server.
How about we say Zombie Day?
So
a DayZ server. Yay!
We should do something for like anyone who like finds and either assists or kills a Rooster Teeth employee.
We should
set bounties on each other.
That would be cool.
Like if someone kills Jack and takes a screenshot, I'll give him a sponsorship or
fuck that
or something.
Yeah, dude, it's gonna be like,
but then you get like armies almost where it's like people helping you. And then, like, each one of us has, like, groups that we associate with.
I wonder if there's any way you can befriend zombies. Like, that's
people do that where they get this big group of survivors and they don't want to fight them, but they want their stuff. They'll run through a town and start kiting zombies behind them.
That's awesome.
And then just run through that group.
Well, that's going to be me. You can see, like, just me running with, like, 300 zombies tailing. Like, come on, like, fucker.
People just sat in a building and they just hear, like, they come running in with, like, trailing zombies.
No, that happens. You'll be in a city, you'll see a survivor on by, you're like, whoa, what's he? And then all of a sudden, all the zombies chase you. Like, you like step back in the doorway, you're like, good luck, dude. You're on your own.
There should be an option in that game to hold the door shut. Yeah. No, you're not coming in.
Lean against wall.
Or just the option to put your hands in your pockets and just walk away whistling.
You got a whistle.
I'm legitimately excited to play this game. This will be a lot of fun.
As soon as we're done recording this, I'm going to install it on my laptop.
I have a question. When you leave the server and then come back in, you said you can rejoin a different server if you want.
Yeah.
Do you come back in on the same place you left?
You do, and in fact, people use that to grief.
Yeah, so like, if everyone's after Jack and he's like, ugh, quit, there's going to be like 20 people just stood around his exit point. And then he comes back in, he's going to get brutal.
Well, because your character persists across different servers, if two survivors are facing off, there's a cheat that some people are doing where they log out of one server, log into another, move to a better location, and then come back in.
Oh, that's fucked up.
It's pretty fucked up.
Okay, is this PC only?
But they're very it's interesting. Okay. You'll like this, Gus. The people who make the mod, you cannot just make servers for it. You have to like apply because it's a persistent character across different servers. If somebody made a server that they then could nerf,
they'd hack, or
like you can't have a private server. They all have to be public.
So it's kind of like Minecraft, like in that way, right?
Well, no. This is in the sense that if I had a private server, I could get a character, boost him way the hell up, and then join public servers. Because it's a persistent character.
I see.
Yeah.
So say someone's shooting you from the lighthouse.
It's all about your stuff. It's all about your stuff because the moment you die, you lose all your stuff, and there's no leveling your character or anything like that. But if you die and you lose your car and you lose your rifle and you lose your assault rifle, and you're like, fuck!
You're gonna burn your fucking house down.
Then you're just back with your goddamn gun and your beans.
guess I'll eat my beans now. All right, that's it.
Shop.
So where are we gonna go eat?